Everybody Loves Dynamite.
Let's get retarded in here.
Everybody, yeah. Everybody, yeah. Get into it, yeah. Get stoked,
come on.
Get retarded,
come on.
Get retarded,
yeah.
Get retarded.
Let's get retarded,
yeah.
Let's get retarded
in here.
Let's get retarded,
yeah.
Let's get retarded.
This is going to be over today's show, and we won't get it all in today.
Right.
This is going to be maybe like over three or four shows.
Good.
Larry King's new book on tape, Why I Love Baseball. A brief summarization of the book, being I've listened to it.
Right.
It is the laziest book ever written.
Mm-hmm.
In this book. And it's even lazier when you could, at least when Larry read the book on tape, he had to read it.
Right.
When he wrote it, I don't want to say he plagiarized, but he recites lyrics to songs about baseball.
Good.
He takes an entire article by an author named Bob Green about why baseball is better than football.
Mm-hmm.
He reads quotes from baseball players. He reads passages where he got friends to write letters saying how much Larry King loves baseball. It's
a lot of filler from other people.
I've never seen a guy like baseball as much as Larry King likes baseball.
So he's not so much an author as a compiler.
And the filler stuff in between is the best stuff. Because it's all like Hank's thoughts.
Right.
Like, for instance, it's, I really loved the old English D on the Detroit Tigers uniform.
Man.
It's full of stuff like that.
This is Audible.
Hi, this is Larry King, and I'm proud to present my newest book on audio. It's Why I Love Baseball. So New Millennium Audio presents Larry King, Why I Love Baseball.
Now, we've got many, many topics that we can cover on the first chapter or three or four today. We have the opening of the book, the dedication to his sons.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Considering suicide, it's Larry being witty. He's mad at his dad for dying.
Mm.
He's too poor to buy tickets to baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He talks baseball every day, loves the crowds, loves the food. Why is the game so important?
Yeah.
As a Jew, Larry always roots for the Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy Koufax is a friend. These are his words, not mine. As a Jew, I always root for the Jew. That's one of the chapters in the book.
Very good.
Betting in high school, matzah and chicken fat sandwiches. Larry gets into baseball fights. Larry talks baseball with his brother Marty.
Marty Zeiger.
Oh, hi, Marty. Larry checks the box scores before a story about sex. His favorite baseball things, baseball magazines he likes, what his friends say about baseball, why Bob Uecker is so funny.
Chicken fat.
Hi. Here we go.
Larry.
I love baseball. Baseball is fantastic.
The book is dedicated thusly. In all our lives, there are hits, strikeouts, and the occasional home run.
Hey, good audio on this.
This book is dedicated to my two young sons, Chance King and his brother, Cannon King.
Cannon Edward King! Cannon and Chance.
Once again, no reason to acknowledge the other seeds.
No need whatsoever. The other seeds
that you've sired from the other tired cow.
That's right.
Two of the cherished home runs of my life.
Oh, God. So anyway, I've got that. I wanted to start with that.
Was that on CD when you received it? Because
yeah.
The quality is just striking.
I'd like to say
it will amaze you.
The Chance and Cannon.
The other thing.
You are the home runs of my life. I'm about to go away for a long time.
More chicken fat, Mr. King?
Please.
Chicken. You like chicken fat?
On matzo, please.
Matzo and chicken fat sandwich.
I always root for the Jews. Hello.
Sandy Koufax.
Hank Greenberg. Go, Hank Greenberg.
The humor of Mr. Bob.
Yeah, nobody like him. I love the food.
Cooperstown, down at Cooperstown.
The Chance and Cannon. I'm about to go away.
Bye.
We won't be seeing the high school graduation.
That is taking a nap.
He's going far away.
Is there a chapter called I'm Living in the Bottom of the Ninth?
Chapter one.
With two outs.
Right.
October 3rd, 1951 was the saddest day of my life.
Why, Larry?
On that afternoon at the Polo Grounds in New York City, Bobby Thompson hit the shot that was heard around the world.
Shut up, Larry.
He homered off Ralph Branca in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Hold on, let me get to a good part here.
And he sounds particularly old, doesn't he?
He does. We'll do this, but let me just play a little bit of this.
Chapter four.
Chapter four.
As a Jew, I always root for the Jewish baseball player.
Thanks, Larry.
I think everyone instinctively does this. Blacks tend to root harder for the black players. The Irish Catholics usually root harder for other Irish Catholics.
That's nice. Like Jimmy the Greek sentiment, isn't it?
It is.
Blacks root for blacks. Irish Catholics root for Irish Catholics. And Jews root for Jews.
Yeah. He's old.
Hank Greenberg of the Detroit Tigers was a ball player to die for. He almost broke Babe Ruth's record. We all swore that nobody wanted to pitch to him the last 2 weeks of that season because they didn't want a Jew to hold the home run record.
Oh, my. Larry. Mm-hmm. Opinionated Larry.
He is opinionated.
He talks baseball every day.
I slip it on to the left. I try to walk like him, try to bat like him.
Hi.
Hi, Larry.
I'd like to dedicate this to Canada Chance. Daddy's about to leave.
The DeRocher said it was about 5 games a year. Over the course of 162 games, that may not sound like much, but a lot of pennants are decided in 5 games a year.
Let's go back to the Jewish part. That might be the funniest part.
Hank Greenberg.
Chapter 4.
Yeah.
As a Jew, I always root for the Jewish baseball player.
Larry King. Okay.
There were no wild cards back then, which I must admit does add drama late in the season.
Oh, now, this is Larry King from his book, Why I Love Baseball.
We were only kids, and we knew there was a war on, but we still loved our game. We used to sing war songs in the morning in class, like when the Führer says, "Wie ist der Meister race?" The Heil, Puh, right into Führer's face. We'd sing all those patriotic songs like, "I am an American," and "Over there." We'd carry our flags and give our dimes to the Marcher Dimes to help find a cure for polio, and of course, root for the home team.
Of course, Larry.
We gathered around the street lamppost at night, looking up the box scores in the morning, and of course, listening to every game we could get on the radio.
Isn't he a tool?
You know, the thing about it is, doesn't it sound like he's phoning this in?
Oh, yeah.
Larry, it's time to read your book. I don't want to. I really don't. We'd gather around the light post and read the box score, and because it's old, I think it's more interesting to you than it should really be.
As a Jew, I always root for the Jewish player.
Hi, I'm Larry King. I'd like to dedicate...
...between the Yankees and Dodgers. This would lead to vicious name-calling, yelling, and screaming. The only fistfight I ever had in my life as a kid was with Herbie. We were debating the merits of various Yankees and Dodgers that year. It had to be 1947. The catches were close, first base was certainly an ideal position, and each of us argued passionately for his team. Now we got to second base.
Well, no need, really, if you're going into the studio and you're tired, to say passionately.
All right. Passionately.
Listen to the way, now I'm starting to get a little worried about
it. Passionately.
Jackie Robinson, who was on his way to being Rookie of the Year, was playing second for the Dodgers. A fellow named George Snuffy Sternweiss, who won the American League batting championship in 1945.
What?
Right.
309. That's how bad play was during the war years.
You know, can I say something also?
Sure.
For those of you that, you know, are hearing it, I'm a huge baseball fan. I have memories of baseball too. I don't buy these guys that go, who batted 245 with a lifetime, you know, with 16 home runs and 12 RBIs. Nobody does. What he's doing is he's taking these statistics and you know, melding them into this like he remembers them off the top of his head.
Of course he does.
245.
He's looking up his memories in the book.
When I was playing stickball and having egg cream with my friend Sandy Koufax.
I couldn't tell you the great Red Sox World Series that I watched as a kid. I couldn't tell you exactly, you know, what people were batting and stuff. Nobody has that kind of recall.
Championship to Brooklyn. That game being played at Yankee Stadium was one of the great thrills of all time.
Yes, Larry.
I can still see Elston Howard swing the bat. 2 outs, nobody on.
Right.
I can still see the ball coming at me. I wanted it to come to me. I picked it up, and there was Gil Hodges standing in first. Howard was a slow runner. I had all the time in the world. I measured the throw. It hit Gil's glove, and life was beautiful.
Okay, now stop
so
right
this,
there.
This is true. He's having his little baseball fantasies.
Stop right there. Now, is he making this up, or is he saying this is fact?
He's talking about his fantasy.
This is his dream.
No, Larry, I don't think Larry ever played shortstop.
Well, I know, but he said he was friends with Larry with Sandy Koufax.
No, Larry's having his little fantasy that that he's on the ball.
Oh, like throwing the ball to Gil Hodges, okay.
And there was a God. Then there was George F. Will, a member of the board of directors of the Baltimore Orioles and a lifetime baseball fanatic.
I hate George Will.
I asked him once how big a fan was he, and Will said, if the Washington Post's headline tomorrow morning said George Will's secret sex life revealed, I would first turn to the box scores.
Hey.
Wow.
I think we all would.
Bingo.
George Will's secret sex life.
Let's go
and
back.
Now I'm curious about that.
Well, we're going to skip back around. We're going to go back to the Jewish part to get to Sandy Koufax is a friend.
Okay.
Now,
this has been a source of controversy with Larry. We don't really know all that much about it.
Disputed for years.
Right. We've heard rumors that it's not true.
And didn't we hear a rumor somewhere?
Didn't somebody call him out on it? Was he really a friend?
Someone had Sandy Koufax interviewed him or something and said, did you ever know Larry Zeiger when you were kid? He said, no.
Sandy Koufax is a tremendous stand-up guy. I mean, I've read articles about Sandy Koufax, recent articles. He's also a very private guy that, he goes out to spring training occasionally. He came to the Red Sox spring training this year. You know, it was a real short thing. He didn't want to make a big deal about it. And I think, didn't we hear a rumor? Because I don't want to say something that's completely out of line.
Why not say it?
I heard a rumor that Sandy Koufax, they asked him, what about this relationship with Larry? And he said it's BS.
Right, that's the same thing we all heard. He said, I don't know the guy. Anyway, let's listen. Hear what Larry says in his new book, Why I Love Baseball.
Yes.
Larry?
Chapter 4. As a Jew, I always root for the Jewish baseball player.
Sure, Larry.
I think everyone instinctively does this.
Sure,
blacks tend to root harder for the
blacks. Blacks,
the
Irish Catholics.
Usually root harder for the
Irish Catholics. Yes, right, Larry.
Hank Greenberg of the Detroit Tigers was a ball player to die for. He almost broke Babe Ruth's record. We all swore that nobody wanted to pitch to him the last 2 weeks of that season because they didn't want a Jew to hold the home run record. By the way, I still believe that was the truth, but hopefully times have changed.
Hopefully.
When Greenberg hit his 58th home run of the 1939 season, he had 2 weeks in which to tie or maybe pass Babe Ruth, whose record was 60. All the stories at the time were because Greenberg was Jewish.
Sean,
the teams
had where's my Viagra? Come on now, I'm going to go down and read that damn book. Chance, Cannon.
Greenberg was walked a lot those last 2 weeks. Teams were afraid to...
The part about Sandy Koufax coming up. Give me a moment. It's like a minute into this segment. Rumors.
He said they pitched him carefully all season and that he had...
You're right about the white stuff in the corner of his mouth.
Yeah, the chalky and
the records, I don't think...
Ribbit.
Everyone believed the stories except Greenberg himself. In his later years, when he played for Pittsburgh, he was such a prodigious home run hitter that left field at Forbes Field was known as Greenberg.
God,
no need to retake that.
Just go in and phone it in.
No, they won't notice it.
That was
a little...
In his later years, when he played for Pittsburgh, he was such a prodigious home run hitter that left field at Forbes Field was known as
Greenberg. Left field.
There's your quality control.
Greenberg's Gardens.
Yeah, okay.
When he hit a home run, the announcer would always say, Hank has just planted another one. In my opinion, it's only logical to root for one of your own. I remember wartime ball players like our beloved Goody Rosen or Cal Abrams. Uh-huh. Both of them played for the Dodgers at the same time.
Yes, Larry.
Then there was Sid Gordon, the Jewish third baseman for the hated Giants.
What about Sandy Koufax?
I always wanted my team to win, but I wanted Gordon to get a lot of hits at the same time. We rooted for Al Rosen, the great third baseman for the Cleveland Indians. Of course, we rooted for Sandy Koufax, and today I'm proud to call a friend.
Mm. Okay.
Oh, interesting. Today.
Mm. This is a new book.
Mm-hmm. I'm proud to call a friend. Do you think he goes in any more detail about it?
You know, I take it back. I don't know if it's a new book. I just got it. I don't know if it's new or not. It's lazy. I don't know if it's new.
Right.
Let's continue to listen, though.
Yeah.
Nowadays, of course, there are quite a few Jewish players in the majors, and I find myself keeping an extra eye out for their comings and goings and doings. Sean Green, the right fielder for the Dodgers, is a current favorite of mine. He's a star player who does not play on Yom Kippur. In fact, most Jewish players decline to play on the High Holy Day,
Sandy Koufax.
That's it.
Wow. Sandy.
That is Sandy Koufax is a friend.
Who today I'm proud to call a friend.
Proud to call a friend.
Okay, well.
Very careful, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
very interesting.
I interviewed world.
Hey, Robbie, go ahead to, can you cue it up to the matzah and chicken fat sandwiches? Mark 650. Matzah and chicken sandwiches.
Chicken fat.
They were poor.
Sandy Koufax is a friend.
Sandy Koufax, who today I'm proud to call a friend, mm-hmm. even though he doesn't call me.
Thank you.
But today I'm proud to call.
Would be played one game at Ebbets Field on a Friday, two games at Yankee Stadium Saturday and Sunday, and then they'd rotate the following year.
You know, I take it back. No, this is obviously a current book. I just got it from Amazon, and how stupid am I? In the beginning, he talks about chance and canon.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So this is obviously...
Well, relatively recent, sure. Yeah.
Right.
One Saturday preseason game was at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, and it occurred on Passover. I think it was 1948. I remember we brought matzo sandwiches, managed to finagle our way down behind the Dodgers' dugout, and give matzo to the players. None of them knew what it was. Jackie Robinson ate a whole matzo square and then wrote down the name of the product so he could buy it.
Okay, stop. Now, Jackie Robinson is dead. This is one thing about Larry King and his stories. Never be any way to prove that.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you really believe the story Jackie Robinson, maybe the greatest baseball player of all time, because of what he accomplished, besides what he did on the field, do you mean the odds of this happening were true? That when Jackie Robinson broke the color line, there was a little Jewish boy named Larry King having a matzo ball sandwich.
And gave him matzo to eat.
And Larry King somehow got close enough to the great Jackie Robinson in the midst of all this turmoil with him crossing the color line to give him, not only give him the matzo ball sandwich, but then Jackie Robinson says, hey, hello there. I love me this matzo. Write it down for me, Larry. No, come on.
We are saying, ladies
and gentlemen, prove it.
Is keep this all, you know,
you can't
respect.
Prove it.
Right.
What are you going to do, dig Jackie Robinson up and go, hey, do you remember some kid asking you about matzo balls at a Dodgers game?
And did you buy
it? We gave Joe Hatton, the Dodger pitcher that afternoon, a big matzo sandwich consisting of chicken fat on matzo. This is not the world's healthiest diet, but it sure tasted damn good. Hatton loved it. He devoured it. He was also bombed in the first inning by the Yankees, knocked out in disgrace. The ball flew everywhere off Yankee bats. To this day, I blame it on Herbie for giving Joe Hatton the chicken fat matzo sandwich. Even though it was only an exhibition game, it still hurt.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay.
Interesting.
I don't know. You want to hear a little more? You want to hear a little of the dedication to his kids?
Sure.
Because that's something we heard just a little bit of.
Ah.
I mean, I've got like five discs of this thing. We are not even into the first third of the book.
This is
audible.
Hi, this is New Millennium Audio presents Larry King, Why I Love Baseball.
Yeah, hi.
The book is dedicated thusly.
Thusly.
In all our lives, there are hits, strikeouts, and the occasional home run.
Really, Larry?
This book is dedicated to my two young sons, Chance King and his brother, Cannon King. Two of the cherished home runs of my life.
Yeah.
Thanks to Viagra.
No need to say
Chapter
Chance.
Chapter 1.
No need to say Chance and Cannon.
Right.
Make October sure you 3rd, say Chance 19... King and Cannon King.
Mm-hmm. Was the saddest day of my life.
Why is that?
On that afternoon at the Polo Grounds in New York City, Bobby Thompson hit the shot that was...
Around the world, yes.
He homered off Ralph Branca in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Don't tell me you were there, Larry.
Four Giants victory over my beloved Dodgers in the final game of a three-game playoff.
Don't tell me you were there.
Determined the winner of the National League pennant.
Larry?
It's the only time in my life that I seriously contemplated suicide.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, I told you. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did we take a break? No, we're back. Well, you never signal me back from a break. Are we on? Okay, thanks. Did anyone ever say, here's Larry? Did you hear it, Robert?
No.
Robert didn't hear it, and I didn't hear it. I'm just talking to the crew. I realized we're on. I looked up. I saw the light. Neither of us ever heard a signal come back, so we have been sitting here. Welcome to the Larry King Show. Our guest is Robert Daly. We're going to pause for news headlines, a word from your local stations, and when we come back, we will take your phone calls. Our numbers are 703-685-2177, and this is semi-hysterical. Yeah, we are on. Thank you. Okay, all I'm telling you is, Mr. Daly and I were sitting here. The last I remember was breaking for commercial, and we never came back. So if we came back, we thank you. And if you heard us talking, I don't know what we were talking about, Robert.
We're talking about agents and things like
agents.
That. Agents. And much interest to...
Couldn't have been... if you heard whatever you heard, we didn't encourage you.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's the best of Don and Mike.
Are we still on the case as far as trying to track down old Rupert from Survivor?
Well, Mike, I hate to put down any Infinity executive.
Yeah, I know that's not your way.
No.
It's not my style.
It's not like you.
Let me just say, though, that maybe a month ago, an Infinity executive, who really is now walking around like with his tail between his legs, sent me a very pompous email saying, I can promise you Rupert from Survivor anytime. So I sent him a note back and said, how about tomorrow?
Uh-huh. Right.
Whatever date this was. The guy who shall remain nameless, Michael Hughes, wrote me a note back uh-huh. and said, there's a deal that they can't talk to anybody until they're either voted off the show or until they win the show.
All right.
But the day after that happens, I promise you'll have him on the show.
Exactly.
And, well, give me a second. I'll pull the email up.
I hope you don't mind me bringing that up.
No.
I'm just excited because I like him so much.
Yeah.
Who? Michael or Rupert?
Rupert.
Uh-huh.
I like Rupert. Rupert's my favorite. And I came in late to the party on Survivor All-Stars.
And he's going
to
win the $1 million on
how do you not like
Thursday night.
I mean, the guy's just you know, he seems like a decent guy.
AOL, let me sign auxiliary.
And not all those people seem like decent people. Very true.
Give me one second. And then, well, I promise we'll
get right with Mountain Man Way and everything, I think he's the most normal of all the down-to-earth guy, regular guy. That guy, Tom, Big Tom, something's wrong there.
Password. Tough to figure out.
Something happened in the hay barn.
Here we go. Okay. Welcome, AOL. Oh, I've got mail. Excuse me.
You have new mail?
I've got mail. Ah, God. Why do I get so much junk?
Yeah.
You know, you buy one
spam,
one goddamn thing from somebody, and they send you a million ads. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Old mail. Michael Hughes. Got it. The heading is still no Rupert.
Okay.
This was sent... this morning...
Oh, this is fresh. Good.
At 11:50 a.m. Uh-huh. Dear Don, my friend who knows where Rupert is cannot get a hold of him. He's been trying to reach him in New York since yesterday around noon, and his cell voice mailbox is full and he's not picking up.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He's trying for us, and I'll let you know as soon as he can get through.
Yeah, right. Okay.
There you go. Anyway, that's from Michael Hughes, Vice President of Infinity Radio.
6 months from now, when nobody's interested, we'll be able to get him.
Sure. And he'll just call the show, or we'll call him.
Right.
You know, we'll be calling a phone booth somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll, hello? This is Rupert.
Yeah!
So anyway, you know, pardon me for erring on the side of believing
I know.
An Infinity guy told me.
I got a little excited.
And he came down the hall today, and he, you know, Michael Hughes, that is, the Infinity guy, and he's wearing his suit and everything. He just kind of sticks his head and goes,
right.
Hey, did you get my email about that Rupert thing? You know, it's kind of out of my hands. And, you know, that's fine. You know,
I normally would say I'm not glad. I'm sorry I asked. Now I'm really glad I asked because I found that highly entertaining. Yeah. I really did.
But I mean, the original email he sent me was, I can get you this guy. Somebody in Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
I think that's his. Boy, would Michael Hughes want to go on the air with us? Then he wouldn't. Call. Hey, Robbie?
Yeah.
So it's fine.
You see if he'll chat with us?
Everybody's standing in line for this guy.
Now, in fairness to whoever his friend is, I mean, I can understand this guy being inundated right now.
Hey, would you pick that up, Rob?
Yeah.
Tell Hughes, we're on the radio. We just want a Rupert update from him.
I mean, you know, obviously, Rupert probably is the clear leader for the being voted the $1 million.
Right.
And he's probably in a period of time where he doesn't want to talk to anybody.
I'm sure he's very busy.
I'll see if Hugh goes.
They want a Rupert update.
He's savvy. He checks.
That's all we need is we need to know where.
Well, he's negotiating with Rob,
of course.
There we go.
Okay, you got him?
Yeah.
Okay.
And here he comes kicking and screaming, ladies and gentlemen.
Let me get him to identify himself.
Hello, would you enter and sign in, please?
Michael Hughes, band driver and banner.
Michael Hughes, he said, I heard it through that.
You have
to start it again to get the effect of it. Michael, we're going to have to get you to repeat exactly what you said.
All right, hold on a second. Michael, what did you say? Who are you?
Michael Hughes, van driver and banner hanger.
Oh.
Anyone. And then you were going to play me.
Yeah, but
he's a radio guy. He's always going to start with, he's always going to have an opening.
I got to wait for the thing to queue up again. Hey, what's your name again, sir?
Michael Hughes.
There it is. So, Michael, I was mentioning that you sent me an email saying you know the guy is it in Indianapolis? You know a guy who knows Rupert?
A friend of ours works with Rupert, yes.
Oh. Ah, that's good. Okay. So, listen, for those of us who love Survivor and think Rupert's going to win the $1 million on Thursday, what do you think the odds are that you can pull that for the show?
You know, I read something this morning that he is the odds-on favorite in Vegas.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
What are the odds you can get him to call this show? are the odds better that the Jenna that everybody hated and had to walk off the stage will win $1 million, or that you'll get Rupert to call our show?
That is up in the air.
Oh, okay.
Up in the air.
Believe me, we're trying. We're trying.
Good.
Okay, all right, Michael. All right, thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Listen.
It's a man who's worn down, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
Not to us.
Say what you mean and mean what you say. Especially you send me an email. I can get you, Rupert.
You know us and promises, too.
Yeah, I got you, Rupert. Day after he's voted off the show.
You would do better telling a 3-year-old you were going to get them candy at the grocery store.
Do you know I had to stop myself from calling him at home on Sunday night when Rupert got voted off about 8:40.
Right.
I had to stop myself from picking up the phone, calling Michael Hughes and saying,
"He just got voted off.
Call him now."
You said,
Mom! I sent him an email Monday morning at 7 o'clock. Uh-huh. Mom!
He sounded so worn out. I think he thought it was going to be a lot worse than it really was.
Yeah,
though.
But that's good, though.
But I do love, for all executives now, we have that wonderful 70s VD song. It's terrific.
What is this note about? Now, what is it? Cameron says, Rob just wrote a note that I don't understand.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought it would be relatively clear. It's for the phone game we're about to play, the Don't Call Me Michael or Don't Call Me Larry.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to run the phone through the harmonizer because of the chance of people not knowing they're on the air, having their voice put on the
Forget it. They just ruined another great bit. Yeah. Forget it.
Oh, God.
Forget it. Just forget, I'm not going to get mad about it. Forget it.
Yeah.
Just forget it. You want a clean, you want a clean show, you want a fun show.
Oh.
So here's what our program director of the week wrote. We have to run when the people are on the telephone at the fast food place.
Yes, we have to change their voice.
We have to put their voice through a harmonizer. Forget it.
No, we don't.
Why?
Because when you are on that little machine, that's a public machine.
Well, you mean the
when you say welcome to so and so's?
Welcome back.
That's you're opening that to
public,
the public
loudspeaker.
You could make a very good case for that.
To McDonald's?
I would think.
Yeah, what's Cameron's phone number?
I mean,
since when does he make?
Right. I mean,
guy standing across the street can hear it.
Yeah.
Since when does Cameron make decisions anyway?
A guy standing across the street could hear it.
Yeah. What's his phone number? What is it?
872.
Jeez.
You're speaking into a public address system.
Right. For goodness sakes.
Technically, he is speaking. When you're speaking into the clown's mouth, you are being communicated with. Don, I'm just trying to do,
I know.
Just trying to give them a little of what they give us.
And I think you're right. And I'm sorry to stop the show with this, but they're stopping the show right now. And this is their great exit strategy, not to answer the phone.
Hi, this is Cameron Gray, operations director for 106.7 WJFK.
I think when you're speaking into one of those things, you're speaking into a PA system.
Uh-huh.
They can be heard by the public.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Try another G.
Here comes Cameron. Cameron, I'm not playing like semantics here, but I think really when you're speaking...
What are you doing?
I said I'd feel more comfortable. It wasn't a deal breaker.
Okay. What do you think of that, though? I mean, see, when you're speaking into one of those things, buses, right, you can hear it across the street. You're speaking into kind of a public address system.
Listen, I do everything you guys did. The woman from Nokia today, I got her on the... I said, can we put your voice in? Please, can we put your voice in? You want to come on the radio? Come on, we're playing a game.
I just said I'd feel more comfortable.
We're playing a game!
I didn't say you couldn't do it.
Okay.
All right, we're doing it.
Then don't call Rob and tell him that stuff. Because Rob thinks you're the program director.
I know. Rob, are you crazy?
Get out of here. Rob, are you nuts?
I am crazy.
We're ruining our fun. Hey, hold on. Camera, would you come back for a second? I apologize. I shouldn't have lost my temper. I'm trying not to. Yes. Who are you again? Who are you? What's your name?
Cameron Gray.
At his mouth. And here's the deal. I believe that that song should be reserved exclusively for Infinity Management. Nobody else. It shouldn't be. The joke will be ruined if it's used for anybody except Infinity Management. You know, the payoff you didn't get with Michael Hughes, you just got right there, because you got me, too.
Once again, what's your name?
Cameron Gray.
Cameron, we're just in here having fun.
Good.
We're just trying to, yeah, good. Good, because we're having a lot of fun for you got in here today. And stop calling Rob and bothering during the show.
Done.
Okay, get out of here.
Bye-bye.
And put the microphone back, please, so I can see Buzz.
God. That song, where did we get that song? Thank you, Cameron.
That was from one of Joe's old movies.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so.
You got me with that one. I'm trying not to lose my temper. It was a strategy. Reeling back in.
Here's the deal. We can play this game. We have to break for commercials now, though.
Okay.
When we come back, and we have people that are at these places, I apologize. We'll get to you first if you're on the line. When you pull up to the window, when you order something, you just say, I'll have a number one supersize at Larry. The name of the game.
And we won't play the VD song for you, though.
No, we won't.
No.
And I checked in with the Hillbilly. The Hillbilly is out with Tommy Lasorda, and they don't know when he'll be in.
All right, we'll get him for tomorrow's show.
We shall.
And what's the guy's name again?
John Hobbs.
Get information or a pamphlet. Most pharmacies are a health clinic. If you need help, see a doctor.
I'm sorry I got so mad, Cameron. What's your name again?
It's for everyone. You know, he didn't have headphones on. I don't know if he can hear it.
No. Who knows?
He
was either not enjoying it or I can't imagine why he wouldn't enjoy it.
Anyway, don't call me Larry.
Yeah.
Okay, don't call me Larry. Now let's play the game. Don't call me Larry. Well, I'd like people to know how to spell the name.
You have to say
That's important.
Right.
Even food tastes better at ballparks. A hot dog at a game, steamed or grilled, just tastes better. Why is that?
I don't know, Larry.
Don't know, Larry.
Don't know, but Larry. All I know is don't call me Larry.
Right.
Here is Eric, who's been waiting for a long time. Eric, thank you. Where are you calling from, my friend?
I'm calling from Portland, Maine, Don and Mike, and I got a couple of big Maine heifers in front of me ordering up their Big Macs. It's been a long wait. It's a tough one to time. I got one little minivan in front of me, and then I'm ready to go.
Now listen, I cut you nothing but slack, Burger, pun intended, because we said we were going to do this, and then we started talking about Rupert from Survivor and everything else. So the deal is when you get up to the window, just like don't call me Chief, you just say, hey, I'd like a Big Mac, Larry.
Does that come with anything, Larry?
Yeah.
How about the drinks, Larry? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just see if you can get them to say, like, don't call me Larry.
What do you recommend, Larry? Oh, yeah, I'm all set. I can't wait.
All right, you got... Robbie, I'll need 60 seconds on the big clock, please.
Hang in there about one more minute.
As we don't play...
One more minute?
Don't call me Larry.
Get the big Toyota in front. All right, we have movement. Here we go.
Cool.
Okay, yeah.
I think I saw Lisa Remini with a big bag full of Big Macs before, too. Here we go, ready?
Lisa Remini. You guys never forget, do you?
They don't.
Even we've forgotten. Hello?
Hang on.
Okay.
Put the phone out the window.
We're playing Don't Call Me Larry.
Got it.
As soon as they say, here we go.
Yeah, Larry, how you doing? I'm still not quite sure what I want to get. What do you recommend, Larry?
Larry was the name
would
be
Maury. I thought Larry worked here. Listen, I am Jewish. Do you have any Jewish delicacies? Like maybe the build-up dish?
We got a comedian.
Sorry. You must take the game seriously, sir.
Play the game by the rules.
You must play it seriously.
Please, no wagering.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, Don.
Mike, hi, welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Oakdale, California.
Right on. Jack in the Box?
Sure.
It's got to be Jack in the Box or Carl's Jr. out in California. Okay, you ready, Mike?
Can you hold just 1 second? I'm about ready.
Okay, if you're ready, go.
I'm ready.
Don't call me Larry. Go.
Hey, I'm looking at ordering a number 6.
Want me to
Well, can you tell me what's on it, Larry?
What comes on the sandwich?
Well, yeah, well, how about the fries? Now, can I get an extra large fry, Larry?
Larry?
Yeah? Does that come with an authentic Greek salad, Larry? Hello, Larry?
My name is not Larry.
What do you mean your name's not Larry?
This is working.
I'm sorry. I thought your name was Larry. Larry, no. I like the authentic Greek salad with water. Okay, Larry?
He's got 25 seconds.
Do you want to add chicken to it?
No, thank you, Larry.
Still got 20 seconds.
Hello?
Salad and the water?
Don and Mike.
Yeah, no, listen. You've still got 20 seconds. Keep going.
Oh, well, she said don't call me Larry.
No, she did not. No.
Oh, well, let me back up. Hold on.
Let me
back up. Excuse me. Can I change that to that?
No.
Severe tire damage.
Just a little too eager.
Severe tire
and
damage.
Played the game almost perfectly.
Yeah.
And he had the girl when she said, my name's not Larry.
Larry, you just keep calling her Larry.
You go in for the kill.
That's how you know. Larry, what do you say, Larry?
Hello, Richard.
This is better.
Hey, Richard?
Yeah.
Don't hide from your feelings. Are you calling for the game?
No, I was calling about the Charlie Pride songs. He had another hit called Roll On Mississippi.
All right, old Mississippi.
Do you remember that one, Mike?
I don't know.
It's a vague memory.
None of us remember it as a hit.
Dan. Hey,
yeah.
Dan the man, where you at, my friend?
Where's your crap detector now, Walter?
Welcome back.
Yes, but you know what? That I'm encouraged by that one guy because he played it almost perfectly. My name is not Larry.
He almost...
Oh, that was close.
Yes,
almost
it was.
Had it. Okay, let's see who this is. I'm just going to take these calls blind. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, are you at a place?
Yeah, I'd like to order a chicken fat and matzo sandwich up at Mike's restaurant.
Look around, Cafe.
Let's have a beer.
Are you at a fast food restaurant?
No, I'm just driving around drinking, man. This is fun.
Oh, hey, that's always good. Just drive. What are you drinking? Caffeinated beverages, I hope.
I'm drinking some ice-cold Milwaukee's Best, my brother.
Uh-huh. Oh, man, that's great. And where would your exact location be?
Hang on. I'm smoking a fatty.
Okay.
I got to go, golden boy. Peace.
Bye-bye.
That's good to know. Isn't that nice?
What's wrong with people?
I love people, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Me too. Hello. Hello. Mm. What happened to that one?
Boy, that guy, I was so eager because that guy had so much potential.
Yeah, although he said, my name's not Larry.
Reset the telephones. Give me just one moment on this.
Don't call me Larry.
Is it just the atmosphere? I think that everything at a ball game is a little brighter, a little sharper, a little bit more in focus. It's a magical break from the worries and cares of everyday life.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
There's some more. There's a lot more of that, Mike. Let me back this thing up a second.
Tastes better. Why is that?
Why is that?
Is it just the atmosphere? I think that everything at a ball game is a little brighter, a little sharper, a little bit more in focus. It's a magical break from the worries and cares of everyday life.
That's right.
Yeah, if we've discovered anything out of this, is that several times during this book on tape, he goes,
hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, what's going on?
Are you at a fast food place?
I'm about to get up right now.
Right on. You'll be the last chance here. What's your name, my friend?
My name is Fernando.
Nando, where are you calling from?
Sacramento, the city of love.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Is it Jack in the Box, Carl's Jr.? What is it?
It's going to be Burger King. And here I'm getting ready to go on. So hold on just a second.
All right, go.
Hold on. No, wait. Not yet.
All right, now listen, Chewy. As soon as you pull up, remember, the last guy almost had it right when he kept saying, what do you think about that, Larry? Do you think that's good, Larry?
And even if they say, my name's not Larry, just keep with the Larry until they say, don't call me Larry.
And remember,
I guarantee it.
You're playing for $100 now.
I'm right behind just one more car.
One more car.
Tastes better. Why is that? Is it just the atmosphere? I think that everything at a ball game is a little brighter, a little sharper, a little bit more in focus. It's a magical break from the worries and cares of everyday life.
The worries and cares.
Everything's a little sharper except my phlegmy voice.
Worry.
This is Larry King.
Hey, this old lady's almost done.
I can tell she's almost done.
How can you tell she's almost done?
Because she's kind of talking to her passenger and kind of wondering what the heck she's going to order.
Okay.
Chapter 4. As a Jew, I always root for the Jewish baseball player.
Thank you, Larry.
I think everyone instinctively does this. Blacks tend to root harder for the black players. The Irish Catholics usually root harder for other Irish Catholics.
Sure, you're right, Larry. Are you there yet?
Next. Almost.
And you're positive you're going to win at this game?
I'm positive.
Why are you so positive? I like your positive attitude.
Apparently, my crap detector is out on
this
mine
guy. Too.
Big time.
No crap, Mike. I guarantee it.
No. The fact that you're guaranteeing it is what's making my crap detector
Mike,
go out.
Mike, it could simply be. It could
be. Because I'm going to keep calling her Larry until she gets pissed off, he or she, whatever it is.
It could be his positive attitude. I'll also tell you, though, you can't overdo it. Like, say, hey, Larry, I like your hamburger, Larry. What's happening, Larry? Well, tell me what's good, Larry. I mean, it has to happen naturally.
Right.
Okay, here it comes.
Okay, here it comes. $100 bill. Here we go. Don't call me Larry. We'll start the clock.
Hey, I want to, let me see. How about a number 5 there, Larry?
Hold the phone out the window.
Number 5 there, Larry.
What time is it?
You got a bunch of pepper there, Larry?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, I don't want a pepper. How about a Coke there, Larry?
Don't mumble your words.
No, actually, make that a Sprite there, Larry.
No.
Don't mumble your words. He's got 30 seconds. He can still pull it out. Say, hey, Larry, what do you recommend?
Hey, Larry, what do you recommend?
I like Coke.
You like Coke, Larry?
Yeah, I do.
I don't like Coke, Larry.
Say, hey, Larry, how long you been working here?
Hey, Larry, how long you been working here?
About 2 months.
About 2 months, Larry?
How do you like it, Larry?
How do you like it, Larry?
It's great.
Hey, Larry, do you have the time?
Hey, Larry, do you have the time?
3 o'clock, Larry?
She's just having fun.
Yeah.
She was just having fun.
She didn't
with
mind.
You.
Are you having fun there, Larry?
No, your time has expired, Joey.
Your time is up.
Oh, man.
But yeah. You guaranteed it.
I guess we're not in it, Larry.
What did he say?
I cancel that order, Larry.
Cancel that order, and he left.
Cancel.
Drives out. That's funny.
That is funny. Cancel that order.
The right wing guy, I tried.
You did try, sir. Yeah. And I'm sorry for that crap detector. I believe you now.
You did try. That's what they say at the Special Olympics, too. Remember that.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least you tried.
Cancel that order.
It's Sacramento, guys. It's Sacramento. Go Kings.
Go Kings.
All right, dude. Oh, the Kings are on tonight, aren't they?
Nah, they're on tomorrow.
Who's on tonight? I thought Sacramento's on tonight against Minnesota.
When's game 18?
The rapist and the fat cow.
Oh, it's Kobe Bryant tonight. And you know, I'm
up out on the West Coast.
I understand the code.
Cancel that order.
the rapist and the fat cow. All right, goodbye, Sacramento.
Oh, hold on, wait. I'm going to go to the window. Hold on.
You what? No, you're
hold
done.
On, I'm at the win. Hey.
What are you doing?
Hey, ma'am.
What are you doing now?
He said, I'm going to pass by because that car passed by. And I was like, hello, Larry? Hey, Larry.
He's still doing it.
No, you know where he is now. He's at the actual, you're at the real window now.
I'm at the real window. Hey, Larry. Hey, Larry.
All right, I'll give you a prize. You get her to say it now when you're at the window.
Hey, how you doing, Larry? What's your name, Larry?
Bye.
He loves the game.
That is great.
That's pretty good.
Oh. That's pretty good. You might have to get a prize after all.
Wow.
My friend.
Bye.
You've got the So you were actually pulling up and looking at her in the face, and you said, what's your name?
What's your name, Larry?
Larry.
I did.
Yeah, you did. Okay. You got the WWE prize back and Judgment Day pay-per-view in your home on May 16. Call your local Comcast or Cox, you spell that COX, cable system now to order. Enjoy that pay-per-view. Thank you. You know, you saved that.
I love you guys.
We love you. Thank you. You saved that for us.
Good job, sir.
Thank you, my friend. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Years you've been appearing with us?
9 years.
Hmm?
About 9 years.
Right, yeah. Several plus several would be about 9.
You said 7 or 8.
No, I didn't say 7 or 8. I said several.
Then you said 7 or 8, and I said
did I?
9.
Yeah. 9, good, thank you.
Some of the animals you had as babies are now 10 years old.
That would be about right.
Remember the animals that did something funny on your tie?
Yes.
Those little lions, the little baby lions, were 1 year old.
That's right.
They are now treacherous and ferocious 10-year-old animals.
Okay. Anyway, Joan Embry is here tonight.
And she's now 32.
That's right. Joan is an animal handler and a trainer. And you really think you're fooling everybody, don't you?
No.
And she
I'm
also...
I'm just here to do my best to help you.
I know that. And she does her 3 horse shows a day. Did you know that? At the animal park.
Boy.
What?
What an exciting idea.
Would you like an army cot or something? Maybe just to kind of catch up on a little little nappy poo? Just might snap you right out of it. Okay.
I love Joan. I'm the only one who went down to see Joan. Doc has never seen her. You've never seen her. I went to the wild animal farm.
It's all right. It's all right. It's okay.
But you're upsetting me.
No, I don't upset you.
I went down, Joan, and I
know you did. It's all right. It's all right.
Don't say...
What?
That I don't... I know her. I went down and...
Oh, I know you did. I know you went down there. And
I held a baby gorilla.
I couldn't go with you that week. You held a baby gorilla. Good. All right. And let's get her out here quickly. Wish you welcome, Joan Embry.
The Don and Mike Show.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Here is Frank Caliendo, though.
Hey, Frank.
Frank.
What up,
Frank,
dog?
Frank, hey.
This is the wrong station?
You are funny always, and we are huge fans of yours.
Well, thank you very much.
Back on Mad TV. Do you know how many people watch Mad TV? I'm sure you do.
It's like 5 million a week.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But
NFL on Fox, one of the last sketches I did was 25 million.
Right.
I did a Rush Limbaugh sketch. So that's about 7 million. Howie Long once told me, he said... He goes, don't care about the ratings on this show because everybody in a bar is watching this show. Mm-hmm. There are 40 guys over at one guy's house just hanging out watching it.
Do you get the people like me that say, I mean, I've said it for a long time, and I think there are other people I've heard say the same thing, that you guys have more of an edge than Saturday Night Live.
We're talking about Mad TV now?
Yeah, Mad TV.
Show.
Yeah, Mad TV, because, I mean, I always said, I started watching that in place of Saturday Night Live, and I like it more because it just, you guys will do... a lot of stuff that seems to me to be a little less safe.
Yeah, and we're edited, you mm-hmm. know, so you can do other things. Like you can do things with graphics and stuff like that as opposed to SNL.
Right.
Where they have to do everything pretty much 80% of it's probably live. Mm-hmm. You do a couple other little things. But if you've noticed, I this is just an opinion, I think some of their things that are taped have gotten more Mad TV-ish.
Right.
So
right.
Their live stuff is always best because it's in the moment. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't beat a live sketch is if you're going to do like a full sketch for 4 minutes, you know, it's an acted out sketch with a character. Mm-hmm. You can't beat the live because the energy's there and it's like, oh my God, you know.
You know, I'm going to blow a little smoke because I'm an enormous fan of yours. And one of the things that when I've watched Saturday Night Live, I always said they could use a guy like Frank on Saturday Night Live. They've got a great history of great impressionists on Saturday Night Live. But I think right now they could use, I mean, just the versatility.
Well, I was actually offered it by the president of NBC, not Lorne Michaels.
Uh-oh.
So mm-hmm. I had heard through the grapevine Jay Moore, Jim Brewer, some other guys that said basically you don't want to even try it because if they try and force you onto the show,
right,
then
Lauren's not a part of it.
Yeah,
right.
And I don't know if I would have gotten it for real.
Mm-hmm.
But Jimmy Fallon was there.
Right.
This was his second year, mm-hmm. and Daryl Hammond was there and was going to be there, and he's still there.
Right.
So for me to sit there, what I needed to do is I'd never done a sketch off of TV. All I did was I was traveling around doing colleges and, clubs, and I was just doing these impressions, and I'd never acted before.
But the best on Mad TV was like the stuff like Rod Roddy. Okay, never on Saturday Night Live. Never on Saturday
and
Night
Rod,
Live.
Rod loved the impression that I did of him, and he was.
And of course, ladies and gentlemen, regretfully, he has passed.
When he was showing people in his hospital room, he was supposed to walk on.
And I'm not laughing.
He was supposed to walk on to the show, and he was too sick to do it. He loved it. He was a great guy, and. We did this, the final sketch that we did, the one we did before he passed away, before Mad TV started inventing new ways for me to do it by doing caveman versions and stuff like that.
Hey, those are funny. You don't like those?
No, they're fine. This one was great, though, because it was Rod Roddy breaking up with his wife.
I know. They're all great.
I loved you my entire life. I thought we'd be together forever.
And then she says, it's Mo Collins playing his wife, and she's like, I'm sorry, Rod, I want a divorce.
Well, I guess my wife is going to get half of everything I own, including a brand new car!
And you have to see it, because you're wearing the baggy sequin jacket.
Oh, and you get the smile, too, with the...
Fancy
smile to the camera right after the line is done. I was actually told in taping one time, don't look at the camera so much. I go, I'm an announcer. It's a new Corvette. It's a new Corvette.
And the
straight from the back seat, it's some friendship.
So, I always liked Jimmy Kimmel on the Fox show. You know, he would do stuff that was edgy. They would come back and those dopes, most of who have been on the show, so we can call them dopes, would like sit there and go, he's not funny, but you know he's funny. So Jimmy Kimmel leaves, and we think, who are they going to get to fill in? When you started, it was a little rocky, but I'll tell you when you absolutely won me over, and it wasn't even your performance. It was, I felt they were telling you, don't do stuff that where these guys are going to cringe when you come back from the break. You did a bit last year where you played all of the guys, including JB. And they put Frank in makeup, and I mean, he didn't do like the, you know, hello, Dad, it's M. James Brown.
Right,
I mean,
right.
He did, absolutely, it was James Brown.
The words, the most important words were, the ones that we originally had didn't work. And I'd heard him do this this eulogy for Otto Graham had passed away. And he was like, Otto Graham was a great man. And I heard him do that. So we were trying to write the bit, and it was like, JB originally said, I don't think it's bad. I don't think he's that. I don't think he's bad. And I go, that's not what JB would say. I go, personally, I didn't think it was that bad. So I kept saying that over and over, and I'm like, personally, I didn't think it was that bad.
So you write it around making it sound, which is what it's all about.
Because at the time, I couldn't say other things.
Right, right.
I could say that, and I just squeaked out, and let's go back to Julian Barber. I tried to get that. And so when we did the bit, for people who didn't see it, which is most people, it's on my website, by the way. You can play it back.
It's the best
thing I've ever done. And it's madtvguy.com or frankcaliendo.com. Nobody can spell it.
So he does all of the, in this bit, you were Bradshaw,
Howie Long, JB, and Jimmy.
But the JB is the best because at the end they go to a split screen. Because which one of them didn't believe that it was really you?
JB didn't think it.
James Brown.
Here's the background. We had told him that, we had asked him if it was okay to do him because we didn't know if it was going to be.
Right.
So, and he's like, oh yeah, you got to do me. So
he's a great guy. I mean, we've had him on the show
phenomenal,
a times. He's
really
got a great sense of humor.
So he was great with it. He's like, it'd be wrong if he didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll set up the bit for you. So I'm at the fake bar, which I did most of the weeks. And I'm like, listen, Fox usually gives me two minutes to do these bits. I don't know who I ticked off, but I'm only getting 30 seconds this week. You pour Joe Namath a couple of free drinks. It looks look what happened right after that.
Susan Culver, right.
So I make the picks and I throw it back to, I go back to you. No characters, back to you guys. As me as Terry Bradshaw. That was not funny, Frank. Not funny, not funny, not funny. That was the not funniest segment Frank has ever done, Frank. Not funny. And then it's Howie was a little bit weaker and like he wasn't trying to be funny, he was just making his picks. And then JB, personally, I didn't think it was that good.
You hear it.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, and hearing it, it's just as great, but you had to see it.
You know what? Go to my can you see a if you can see a
buzz, can you
pull it up on the website? All you need is there's a picture of the front first page.
Right.
Is me as all four guys.
You have it there, Buzz?
So then what
I'm
it
working
does,
on it.
It cuts to me as Jimmy Johnson and say, I thought it was great, but how's my hair? And I'm spraying it. Cuts to Howie Long, I've got a level on my head. Cuts back to Bradshaw, there's a guy with a power buffer up on his head. On the bald head.
But now,
when you do a great bit like that, and that was like a memorable bit. I mean, really, I'm sitting there. I swear to God, I fall on the floor. I'm laughing. How long do you write that? Do you improv that? Do you go in and just shoot stuff?
Well, because of a split camera, we're doing, or split screen, we're doing a lot of different things. So we shot two on one day. JB and Terry on one day, and then another day was Howie and Jimmy. So we split them up like that because you have to do it for the sides, you know, there's four,
right.
Split up into four,
right.
You did two on the left, two on the right, and then put it all together, you know, together.
It was a table of four Franks, I'll talk to you, and the other thing, of course, you're famous for is the Madden.
Well, I gotta tell you about the Madden, because, you know, I do Madden on this show, and I told Frank before he came in here that the Madden that I do, and I've done that a lot with great impressionists, is I don't do an impression of John Madden, I do an impression of Frank Caliendo doing John Madden. And I will tell you, when I got Tebow, the first thing that I wore the Tebow out with was the bit that he did on Mad TV. That was probably a throwaway bit for you, but it was the popcorn popper.
No, that's actually, we both saw that one.
Yeah, I didn't do it because I was trying to learn how to do John. I was just watching it because I thought it was the funniest goddamn thing I've ever seen with you progressively getting more agitated and then burning yourself as John Madden with a, hey, folks, it was just, I love that.
The thing about that is that that's what makes us different from Saturday Night Live. You couldn't do that bit.
Exactly. No, that'd be impossible to do it because, I think it, when you throw in, and it's almost all like, you know, little Monty Python with the burn makeup blood spurting.
It was a lot of different things because the end move was kind of Farley-ish where I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
It's amazing. I didn't go, dear sweet heaven, what the heck just happened?
But even when you do it on the Fox show, and it's great, now that Madden left Fox, I guess he's fair game.
You saw it early on when he was doing it on the Fox show, yeah, right?
You did one where you're just eating chicken wings, and you got them all over your mouth. And
I've gotten into a lot of trouble for those.
And they come back from the break, and you know that the dummies on the show, they want to laugh at it.
Right.
But they're all afraid to laugh because it's the great John Madden. And
we've had John Madden on this show
like
a million
Santa
times.
Claus.
Have you met Madden? You know how he feels? Me. He doesn't like you doing it?
He basically said, you know, guys, people think that he is me, and he is not me, but people think, and he says the things that people think that I say, and I don't say those things. And that's why... That, you know, when you hear him say these things, and you think that it's me, and it is me.
That is just, I gotta tell you, that is so intimidating,
Frank,
for me. It really is.
You are funny on so many levels with the impressions. Promise us, it's the first time we met you, but just promise us you're not gonna be one of these guys that the next thing you know, you've signed a deal with someone, and the show is called Frank and Friends for NBC, where you play a wacky guy who's got a guy next door to you and a neighbor. I mean,
well, I can make that promise, but how much money are we basically?
Here's a guy who's not going to lie, because if he did lie, he'd never be a real boy. He'd get swallowed by a whale, Geppetto would get mad, a cricket would start to sing. There you go.
I mean, see, I got a couple observations for you. First of all, John Madden takes the beginning of the sentence, which is the same at the end of the sentence, and then the middle blows up on itself. But he saves it with these words, and the words are, and that's what that's all about, okay?
He'll say things like, great football is about great football, and you got great football players playing great football. That's the best kind of football to play. But when you have regular players playing great football, I mean, that's just regular great football. What you want is great football, and you don't even, and that's what that's all about.
It's like a band-aid.
Amen.
Oh, my
Amen.
God.
That
is great.
You are great.
You know, really, I think when you do what you do for a living, if you can get in a career one guy like that, I mean, you look at a guy like David Fry, who had Richard Nixon. I mean, and there are a lot of guys that do a million of them, and I think in their entire careers, I mean, I'll use big names. I get, you know, they always talk about Rich Little with Johnny Carson, but even with that, he did so many, but to get one guy and to nail it, I mean, it's just fantastic.
Have you guys heard the Bush yet? The President Bush is my newest big thing.
All right, okay.
Roll it.
I love President Bush because I think it's great we have a president who seems like he's looking directly into the sun, first of all. Always got that look. It's like, could somebody do me a favor? Hand me a pair of sunglasses, because I can't see crap right now. Remember that saying you got wrong, as if there was one like that?
Here's a guy who's underestimating.
That's what that's about.
There's an old saying in Texas. Fool me once, shame on you. Shame me, once, twice, three times a lady.
And the other one that's gotten really huge, and this is only for certain people, but the Jim Rome impression.
Okay.
You guys are familiar.
Well, I've never heard that. Let me hear it.
What a great idea. Me on your show.
This is phenomenal. Don and Mike in, and I am in the jungle, but I'm on the Don and Mike show. How did that happen? Let me tell you. Right now, first, I'm going to pause for no reason.
I swear to God, it's just you got to have a 10-second pause.
This is ridiculous.
Clones.
Clones, I am talking to you right now. If you did not hear me, you're probably deaf. That is terrible.
Get the gear.
So what we did on Fox, that was the first one that got Bradshaw and those guys going, is I did Jim Rome. And believe it or not, as chubby as I am compared to him, I looked almost exactly like him. And we had a guy playing Al Davis. See?
Okay.
The guy was playing Al Davis, okay? And he was a 103-year-old man, owner of the Oakland Raiders. By the way, the Raiders hated me after it. But a 103-year-old guy, and he falls asleep during one of Jim Rome's pauses. So at that point, I go, now I'm going to pause for no reason. Wait, pause.
That is a great
Jim Rome. You don't, God damn, that is
not a call from George in D.C. George, go ahead.
Yeah, Jim. Thanks for the van. Got a take, and it's not going to suck. We have found the weapons of mass destruction, but they're all invisible.
Great call. Welcome. The president of the free world calling the jungle, letting us know that the weapons are out there, but you can't find them. Hilarious.
That's good.
Freaking right on.
And the one thing that the thing that changes things, or that gets people about me, is because once I set them up in the act, right, I just start going from person to person. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it's just like I got bits, you know. And then when I start going, it's just like going from Jim Rome to,
you know, John Madden. We switched to Robin Williams. Who knew?
It's Chino time. It's a little Adam Sandler coming for you. Listen, President Bush is here, and here's Bill Clinton.
I didn't think you'd call me, but that is great. Thank you.
I can't believe he does a Chris Rock impression. Come on, white guy pulling that one off. Come on down.
Wow.
You're the next contestant. Oh, the Price is Right.
God damn.
Caveman days, and here we go. It's Snack Bag of Buns. Crunchy shells, crispy wings, low carbs. Snack Bag of Bugs from Boobco. And they can't be yours if Price Right.
Price Right.
Because he's a caveman, right?
That was a caveman.
If Price Right.
With Rock Barker.
Oh, my God.
Okay, you know, you didn't have to come in and perform. We were just happy to meet you, dude.
I am a whore.
We're happy to meet you. Now, when you're at the... here's your plug at the Improv. God, you are a whore. Listen to this. Tuesday through Thursday night shows, Friday nights, Saturday night, two shows, Sunday show. How many shows?
When you're doing a Tuesday through Friday?
No.
I'm Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the DC Improv.
Oh, it says Tuesday, so you're not
there. Well, I'm going to probably pop in there tonight, but I, you know.
Just to work on some stuff?
No, just to whore it out.
Here's a guy who goes to the DC Improv every chance he can to try and sell as many tickets as he can, and then they sell out, and then people can't get in, and then he gets more money next time. And that's what that's all about.
Dude is calling himself out on his promotional tools, and that is terrible. When you come on the Don and Mike show, you don't have to work the DC Improv into every sentence you say.
Rack him.
You just did phenomenal. That's great.
Rack him.
Now, I have on the website, there's downloads, and there's free downloads. There's CDs you can buy and stuff like that.
Okay.
We made these downloads free for Sprint phones. I get nothing from Sprint yet, but I'm working on it.
You're trying.
There's a guy who really doesn't want it.
Yeah. Oh, what tangled webs are woven. And first we practice deception, and Wilbur lives, but Charlotte dies. That Charlotte was one sexy spotter. She was.
You know, this is the only guy I've ever heard work a Newbery Award winner into Don and Mike. I mean, that's great.
Not fun to Frank. Still not. But personally, I didn't think it was that bad.
But you can download Al Pacino to your cell phone, which nothing beats having your cell phone go off in the middle of a crowd going, "You got a phone call. You got a phone call. Answer it." Or, "Hey, folks, John Madden here, and I'm on your cell phone, and I'm probably going to annoy people more than ever." And there you go.
Let me tell you this. I got to tell you this before I forget, because he can turn anything into a Brett Favre reference.
He can be talking about the grass in the field, be like,
half of that grass is real, and half of that is fake, but Brett Favre is all real. I mean, you could cut off both Brett Favre's arms and both his legs, he would still be the best torso in football. That's just, Brett Favre, I mean, he can throw a football 200 yards underwater. I can't even throw a football 1 yard underwater. But I mean, that's 200 yards. That's a 199 more yards right there. And I mean, and then he can hit any target. Brett Favre has such a great arm. He can hit any target he wants. That's why you put Brett Favre in Afghanistan. Boom, he hit Osama bin Laden. Yeah. And the Packers don't want to get rid of him. They need Brett Favre because Brett Favre is the Brett Favre of the Packers. And without Brett Favre, they would be the Packers without Brett Favre. And that's what that's all about.
Yeah. I cannot believe
Madden gets mad at that. I just can't believe he doesn't dig it that much because,
You are too great.
Fantastic.
You are too funny. You are too great. We are huge fans.
Oh, thank you so
huge
much.
Huge fans of yours. Thank you for coming by. I mean, I know you got all these other DJ things to do, and thanks for coming by our show.
Thanks for having me.
We're big fans. What's your website again?
MadTVGuy.com, MaddenGuy.com, MaddenGuy.com.
You got that? Yeah, Buzz?
Mad TV. Yeah, I've got it.
And when is Mad TV?
Loading real player.
When does Mad TV start its new season?
Not till September. When the NFL starts up again, too. And can I throw this in here, too?
Yeah. You sure can.
There's a guy not even going to plug something. He's just going to tell you about a bit he did.
Okay, throw it in.
Dude, that is ridiculous. Get to the bit and stop stalling. I don't know what's going on.
Neither do I. I wish he had some jokes for these voices. Well, it's Robin Williams time. It's switching voices without having jokes. Here we go.
And we're dancing.
Okay.
The bit that got, like, Rudy Marsky from USA Today going and stuff like that.
Hey, Rudy, right.
When I did the Rush Limbaugh bit.
Right.
Which was, I came on, and the guy's working with me, Scott Long, this week, wrote this joke that we put in there. It was, he was doing a show from the Trent Lott Rehab Center.
Oh, I saw that with thousands of pills.
All the pills around me, and I was like, and I was in a hospital room, like, greetings, my friends.
And when I say my friends, I mean you guys, my OxyContin pills.
And I shoveled a bunch of pills. Now, when Rush came back, he's like, I've seen the bits. I know what's going on up there. Mr. Snurdly, what's the fox guy's name? The little guy.
Well, whatever. I saw that one. That was funny.
So he liked it. You know,
oh,
he
got, all right. Okay.
Dude, so got the bit.
It's great.
Not doing the Madden thing and pretending like it never happened. Hold on.
I have never heard your Jim Rome.
I'm going to do this for you. Hold on. We just got a huge fax. Rustling the fax so you know that it's here.
You are great.
Dear Jim. Wait a second, there is nothing on the fax. Being told the fax is on the other side. There it is. Dear Jim, this is the greatest show you've ever done. You topped yesterday's show, which to that point was the greatest show you'd ever done. Signed, Jim Rome. Just fax myself.
Clones.
Hysterical clones.
Oh, fantastic.
That is.
I never knew you did a Jim Rome. People think he's Rome calling. Rome's calling in drunk. Like, dude, Rome was drunk.
He
wasn't. It was Caliendo doing it.
Goddamn, that's
fake poor stop at the DC Improv.
Frank, that is
Caliendo
great.
Plugging himself again.
That's awesome.
Go ahead and plug at the Improv this weekend. Hold on, I got a DCImprov.com. Go there to get your tickets.
See that Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night?
Thursday, 8:30, Friday, 8 and 10:30, Saturday, 8 and 10:30, and Sunday at 8 o'clock.
Go out and see Frank Caliendo. He's the absolute best in the business.
Well, we have three more shows to do this week. If you wouldn't mind calling in or coming by every day.
I'll be here every day.
I'll be phenomenal every day. Seriously, you are fantastic.
Thank you guys very much.
Oh, stop.
It's great to be here.
I'm going to go take a cold shower.
I'm doing
this.
President Bush doing Jim Rome.
Okay, do it.
Phenomenal. It's a great call. Let's go. Jay Moore will be on the program in hour number two. Shaq Clank Fu calling in. The Crooked Eye will be. Listen, I don't have a problem with gay marriages. I don't know where you heard that. As long as it's a gay man marrying a gay woman.
Back to Jim Rome.
A gay woman.
Great. Now I'm being banged like the monkey. He's calling out names, but I'm getting more airtime, so I'm sitting in. I don't care. I will bang that monkey just like the monkey bangs itself at the Spencer Gifts
and
the mall.
Of course, back to Madden.
Yeah, you know, and that's what you got to do. If you call it out, I'm going to do it. I mean, there are times, and if you keep going, I'll keep going because I have no problem.
Al Pacino.
What the hell is going on here? He starts to zig, and just when you think he's going to zag, whoa, he zigs again. I can't believe it.
Wow.
This one's going to keep on going unless you stop.
Wow, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow.
That's fun.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for the show.
Yeah,
thank
incredible.
You guys for having me. Dude, so what's... did you have a girlfriend? Are you...
I just got married.
You just got married?
I think I just bought myself some extra time on the show.
Yeah, because we've been overwhelmed by this. You know, we actually didn't... You're a newlywed?
Yeah, my wife, I she's having a baby in July, late July.
You ever do voices while you're getting intimate with your wife?
No, because look at the voices I'm doing.
You know, it goes in, it goes out, boom, I'm done. I mean, it's over.
That was phenomenal. Grab a cigarette.
Rack.
Buzz, you got it on the web, turn it around.
Okay, okay, back to Frank.
Okay,
back
turn around.
I want to take a look.
Frank is more handsome than he is funny.
Now, this is Frank.
More funny.
You being all four guys.
He is handsome.
There he is, Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy, you just raised your hand twice.
I'm the coach. I can do whatever I want. If he gets to, I want to. You don't have anything you can say about it, and I'm going to keep doing it, and that's the way he has it. But Jimmy,
you stupidest thing.
Well, this will never sort itself out, so I'm going to throw it back to, well, I guess me, JB.
it would have been something if he had imitated me, right?
And then their reactions.
It was too great. I mean, I watch that show all the time anyway.
Yeah, they're great. If you could see them off the screen, off TV, when they're just going at each other, they're the funniest. They're great on TV.
They really have a good time.
And I still say that I think that I have probably that gig, having to follow Kimmel, and then having to go with Terry Bradshaw, who's going to pretend to be Simon Cowell every week. I don't think there's a tougher gig in comedy. And I don't think I did. Believe me, I don't think I hit a home run every week. There were about four or five home runs this year.
No. Listen, you get solid triples and home runs. I'm telling you, that's a tough friggin' spot, because you have guys, not like me, who appreciate it. You have guys that are like, you know what I mean? Guys that are like, football is everything. And they're like Jillian Barber, because they like a nice girl with big boobs.
Yeah. Well, also, when you dive in and you do the impressions of all of them, that's when you take that chance, and it went over.
Yeah,
and then you cemented yourself.
I went into the studio as Robin Williams with those guys one time, and I'm like, Howie Long, come on, this is a guy who speaks for Radio Shack. Let me ask you this. Did they hire you or build you? Come on. How about the Hulk was green? What's going on here? Bradshaw, here's a guy who supports supercuts. Come on. Would they go crazy? Come on. Talk about steroids. Here we go.
And we're dancing. You know,
so they didn't think we could top that one. And then we went in, because every time we did one that was better, they're like, they didn't think we could top it. And then when we did all four guys, we really couldn't top it. Because it was just so, because those guys really want to hear about
who does your makeup on? One
Mad
person?
TV people.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
folks that do that?
Jennifer Aspinall, who used to years ago do Saturday Night Live with Dana Carvey and Phil Hartman. Mm-hmm. She does the makeup at Mad TV and the head of makeup and helped me out at that. And it's just, it's amazing, because a lot of things we were doing from scraps. Like, we didn't have the real parts, because we weren't, the budget wasn't like that.
But sure.
That makeup, it's Rick Baker kind of stuff. You're talking tens of thousands of dollars.
Well, that is in half. That is such a great spot on that show, and it's such a...
It's come along,
It's one of those things, if you're watching with a group of people, you can easily identify who... First off, you all like football, but then that comes on, and then there are people... I've been in a room with people, but like your Madden comes on, and I'm falling on the floor. And like, there's three or four guys that are laughing, and then there's...
You gotta know. You gotta be a fan, first of all, Madden, to get into
and
that.
And then there's one guy sitting there who says, what's funny about this?
Right.
But because he's John Madden.
Right.
Come on, everything's funny about this. Look at this. He's got like 8,000 barbecue chicken wings.
And because I'm such a fan of Mad TV, you're happy there, you're going to be there for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, they just upped the show for 3 more years, and I'll be on it for 2 more.
For 2 more?
Yeah.
Because you always have to check with Fox. You always have to make sure with the Fox Network, because they lose a lot of good people. They really do.
Well, Frank, thank you for coming in here.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
You're fantastic.
You're right.
You are fantastic.
And I really appreciate it, and I thank you guys for having me in.
Thank you for riffing. You're great. You're funny. Please get out of here.
Frank Caliendo, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Isn't it great?
All right. Good
job. I just clap for myself.
That's all right. Yeah. We clap for ourselves all the time.
Oh, man. And I will still continue to study you when I'm working on other impressions.
I had a guy that showed up, and I know you're trying to get rid of me, but I had a guy.
No, we're not. We had a guy commercials.
A guy showed up in Orlando that looked exactly like President Bush. And he's like, I just want you to know I'll be borrowing your President Bush impression.
Yeah, there you go.
Not the material, but I'm like, well, then I want a percentage.
There you go.
Hey, Mike, give me some pants.
Why don't you do Bush on Bush?
No, not going to do it.
Come on.
Fred Travellina, not Frank Caliendo.
Just do one time here.
For 30 seconds.
When Fred Travellina is in here, I'll try to do that, but
that's
very difficult to do with Frank Caliendo.
Great. It was very impressive.
Thank you. It's a time we have to fight, get together. We have to put ourselves together and read Charlotte's Web like he was mentioning earlier.
Penny saved. It's 1 cent. Spanish centavo that you put in your pocket to the end.
That's one small step for man. And
I'll walk around somewhere else.
Yeah, it's a couple of steps petering out.
Ask not what you can do for your country, but how you could help the guy next door.
Yes, and hopefully that guy next door is your neighbor. It's a beautiful thing. Wow.
That's a draw.
Life is beautiful.
That's a draw, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
You've done good.
Thank you. Don't ask the... I won't do the Madden. I told him I won't do the
Madden.
You're
like Apollo Creed against Rocky.
I studied him, you know, to do that Madden when I was doing it, and I still don't have it, and I won't do that. I'll embarrass myself, so that's it. You are the best, really. Right. You are the best. I didn't say that when Fred Travellino was in here.
Well, yeah, hey, thanks. Thanks a lot for not saying that when Fred Travellino was in here.
Remember those days? Ooh, that was tough. That was.
Now, Frank, now you got to get out because we talk about you when you leave.
Phenomenal. Rack me. Great job I did.
We are going to rack you.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Go see Frank at the Improv.
It's great meeting you.
He's going to be there in D.C. this weekend.
Don't be a stranger.
And I am out.
He's out.
Hilarious.
Thank you, Frank. Is he great?
Is he unbelievable?
He really is great.
The Jim Rome was completely out of left field. I have no idea. Unbelievable.
I really busted one.
Because we had not heard the Jim Rome ever. And we've done, you know, how many of those broadcasts when we've been in one of those DJ rooms with Jim Rome across the way?
Crack him! Crack him!
Well, he's good. He's good.
No kidding.
Boy, oh boy, Mike, is he good.
Yeah, I know he is. Yeah.
Boy, is he good.
I'm feeling inadequate right now.
See, but you went toe-to-toe with the Bush thing with him.
Yeah, well, the Bush, you know, it's one thing. But Madden, you know.
Bye, Frank.
You know what? If I'd done the Madden with him, I would have cried.
His Madden is the best Madden ever.
That's his signature.
With no offense.
Yeah, I know.
So his Madden is the best Madden ever.
You know, a couple of times there, I was getting ready to stand up and leave. I really was.
No, no.
But you know what, really? I think I deserve credit for sitting here and not crying.
Why would you cry?
Well, it's like, because, you know, you're sitting there, you do with that, and then you see another guy that does the same thing, and he does it so well. It's great, you know? Yeah, to be quite honest with you, I wish I was on TV sometimes.
You don't think Frank Caliendo's walking out of here, we're going, hey, I wish I was Mike O'Meara, being able to sit there every day and do that great show with all those great guys?
He looked jealous to me.
we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Cubans were in a constant state of revolt. In 1904, the United States decided to throw a little weight around and, who is it?
Mr. Pizza Guy.
Again?
Mr. Pizza Guy, sir.
Pour the double cheese and sausage.
Right here, dude. Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Mr. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here. You're causing a major disturbance on my time.
You know, I've been thinking about this, Mr. Han. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time? Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Spicoli. It is our time. Yours, mine, and everyone else's in this room. But it is my class. Hamilton, Brandt, Kornfeld, up front. Mr. Spicoli has been kind enough to bring us a snack. Be my guest. Help yourselves. Get a good one.
The Don and Mike Show. Corn. Enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Beautiful woman is Julie Foreman.
Yes, she was in our office today.
Who was the sales manager, and we're trading places with her.
Mm-hmm.
We're trading offices with her, and she's goddamn serious about it, and so are we. It's good, because we're going to move down to this floor, and she's going to move up to that floor, and there's going to be some integration here.
Yeah, she brought up an interesting question up in the office, though, which, you know, we didn't really care, but she brought it up whether our fearless leader was even aware of that fact.
Not that it matters.
He did ask to be informed.
But he yellow-lighted it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Okay.
And really, that's a green light as far as we're concerned.
Sure. Let's call Queeg. I like that.
Old Yellowstone.
Queeg.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Queeg, what's happening? You know that we're doing this. I know you yellow-lighted it in your Captain Queeg fashion, but the move, the training spaces, us training spaces with the office of Julie Foreman is happening.
We got it done last week when we spoke to you. We got it right after, a short time after we spoke to you.
Congratulations. I actually thought it was with Hedges.
Well, he might be making a move, too.
Now, yeah, I thought there was a big, it's sort of like a two-for-one.
Well, no. He wants Ron and Fez's office.
Two-for-two.
If Ron and Fez want to swap offices with him, that's between Ron and Fez and the general.
Okay.
But we got our deal with Sweet Julie Fullman.
And you'll be happy to know that the deal with Steve Johnson fell apart, so you'll still have that wonderful man across from your office every day.
I'm thrilled about that. And, I don't know if I'm happier to have him there.
And I hope that Frida doesn't get pissed. I really committed her to a lot of work today. Not that Frida would be doing all this, but I said,
I think she'll enjoy it, won't she?
We'd paint the office, uh-huh. and she said, well, will Frida help decorate? And I said, of course. You know, that's what she does. You know, let's just make sure the decorating is done in the hours when I'm not here.
Right.
That would work out best for me.
Right.
If Frida
right.
had to arrive.
It all worked out for you guys.
Yeah, it did. And Alan, you're welcome. Because this is going to help the morale around your radio station.
Listen, I feel it already. I really do. People are running around here very, very happy, and I'm glad that you're going to be down here. I can see you more often.
Oh, that's not necessary.
That's just a threat on your part.
Yeah, of course it is, but I can come down, and I don't have to walk upstairs and find you.
Please,
I can just walk across
please
the hall.
make that an empty threat, please.
Anyway, so just so you know, Julie wanted us to make sure that we told you that we're moving.
Okay, but I'm confused. Hedges is still a mix.
What do you care about Hedges for? Hedges has...
We're not part of that deal, really. We had nothing to do with that.
That's a subplot with Hedges and Ron and Fez.
If they want to do a switch, we're fine, but we're...
There are offices upstairs. It's our office. Ron and Fez have an office. The production people have offices. All the DJs are upstairs, and all the salespeople are downstairs. And it used to be that there was a mingling of the species.
That's right.
Where there was salespeople that would actually have to say hello to us, and we'd have to say hello to them.
Yeah, it was fun. You got to know... I mean, really, this move is designed so we get to know more people around here.
I remember your office used to be next to the sales cubicles.
Absolutely. Yeah, they were. Right. Mm-hmm. That the very first office we had was that way.
And furthermore, our office is just too goddamn far away. I mean, even though, you grace us with 10 minutes of commercials every time we break, frankly, to go all the way upstairs, if you want to pour a drink, get yourself a drink, brush your teeth, have some Altoids, because I'm talking about having a hard drink.
Well, it's kind of nice to have this office on the main floor.
Be very, very easy, very convenient.
I'm all for it.
So anyway, it's happening.
And good.
Julie just wanted to make sure that you were not yellow lighting in this quig, that you were going to green light it.
You're right, but I do know that Jeff may want to make the move.
You're going to Shrek on it. You're going to green light it. What is the hang-up?
Now, you're talking, what is this?
Look, it's what I heard through the grapevine, that Jeff may want to make the move, which means Julie won't have to.
No, you're so out of the loop. We spoke to Jeff Hedges. Jeff Hedges doesn't want our office. He wants Ron and Fez's office.
But if to be honest with you, if that's the way it was, I wouldn't have any problem with that either.
Yeah, but
is fine.
But someone's got to ask Ron and Fez.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, I mean, if for some reason that's the way it was, that Jeff wanted to move into our office, and either Julie's or Jeff, doesn't matter to us.
But Jeff told me he wants Ron Fez's office.
Yeah, okay. All right.
He doesn't want...
I'll find out. I will...
Why
do you have to find
hold
out?
Hold on. This is right. You know what?
Listen, if
nothing good...
Sorry you called.
Yes.
Hey, hold on a second.
Yes, desperately sorry we called.
I'm sorry.
Okay. You know, we're just trying to tell you, we're doing something good. We want you to think that you're involved in things around here, so, you know, technically, you're in the loop, so you know what's
happening. I'll tell you how I feel now, though.
How?
You know how I feel now? I just have that nagging feeling someone's trying to pull a fast one.
No, not at all, Mike. This is...
What are you...
Alan,
and the, no, the guy on the phone that's trying to pull
a
fast one.
Let me put you on hold for a second.
We'll be right back.
Hold on.
Jeez. God, I hate talking to him sometimes.
He can't hear us now. He's too dumb to pull a fast one. He's just sitting back there.
Is he just being difficult?
His head is swimming because things are happening.
What, Robbie?
Oh, what? The problem is he is too dumb to pull a fast one, but he's not so smart that he can't realize he's that dumb, and he's going to try and play this somehow. You watch him.
The mic's back on.
Wow.
Be careful, Rob.
Okay, we're back.
All right, stop talking behind my back, please.
Hi, Alan.
So much.
We'll stop talking behind your back, but Alan, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If Ron and Fez...
I'm thrilled, really. I told you from the get-go I loved having you down here, and I...
No. So, hold on. Let me just double-check on this. You're thrilled that we're moving downstairs. Why are you thrilled that we're swapping offices with Julie?
Well, I didn't say I'm thrilled about that.
What are you thrilled about?
That you're going to be downstairs.
Okay, good.
All right.
I don't care where you are.
Okay, hold on.
Downstairs.
Hold on, right. Okay.
All right, that's fine.
I'm going somewhere with this, though, counselor. Oh. So you're happy... Mike, I just want to catch him in something.
I'm not doing that to you.
I'm happy. Yes, I'm always happy.
Can I just catch him in something?
Yeah.
You're happy. You're happy because we're going to be coming downstairs, and that will probably make things looser around here. Right?
Well, I mean, according to you, I think they're loose, but I think you'll see.
See, this is what I want to get back to. See, he knows. See, here's the thing. Last week when we first told him we wanted to switch offices just for a change and also because, you know, it's so segregated around here. You have the programming on one side and you've got the salespeople on the other side. And his comment last week was, I don't think there's any need for it because I think morale is great around here.
Mm-hmm.
With Jeff Hedges putting up his kindergarten cop thing, get your name and your gold star on
right,
here.
Right, right.
I said, let's move into it. And at the time, you said there was no problem with morale. There was nothing. Alan, this is a morale booster.
Hey, listen, anything to help morale even more, I'm for it. So go for it.
All right. There it is.
Okay.
Well, what else do you need?
Can I just ask, on a number, on a 1 to 10 basis, please be rating the current morale of radio station WJFK under your stewardship?
7.5.
7.5.
Yeah.
Who have you been asking?
I got about Steve, 3 or 4 people. That,
Steve Johnson.
They keep telling me that.
I think it's great.
Well, now you know why I want him next to me.
I tell you, I had a brief negotiation with Steve Johnson.
Why you want him next to me?
I never want to deal with that guy. I never want to deal with that guy ever again.
Yeah, that was an interesting conversation.
It was painful. Yeah, with him.
Well, what do I get, huh?
You know, like I'm trying to pull a fast one on him, which I wasn't.
Oh, he was one of the guys we're trying to broker an office with.
Yeah. I even offered him a sweet deal too, little private stuff, little golf. Offer to take him out and clients out golfing.
Well, I don't know.
That won't happen.
So right now here on May 25th, you have rated morale at this radio station a 7.5. At what point do you think the all-time high was, as far as morale goes around here?
Geez, all-time high?
All-time high.
Highest rating. He's thinking. God.
I'll get back to you on that. I don't know. It's been all-time high. I mean, I don't know if it's ever been a 10.
But has it ever been higher than a 7.5?
I think when you were downstairs, it was higher than
there. Good answer, Alan. Good answer.
And when do you think morale's been at an all-time low around here?
Probably when we moved you to middays.
All right. Okay, well, that's, you know, not the answer I was looking for.
Yeah, but that was probably not a good idea.
Not the answer I was looking for. but truthful. So I guess in closing, this has been a very productive session. We both agree that the station has emotionally many, many steps to climb, and we are glad to help get beyond this.
We will pass along to you when we are moved in so that you can bring us the
welcome back.
The office warming gift.
Okay, absolutely.
All right, Alan.
All right, guys, thanks.
And don't be so hung up about what Jeff Hedges is doing.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
You seem to be a bit preoccupied with Jeff Hedges.
No, I just want to make sure that he's in the mix on that, because I know he was interested.
I'll tell you one thing about him. He's an up-and-comer in this business. At Jeff Hedges, he's a can-do guy. Isn't he running the Redskins stuff now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's more
responsibility. Along with he and Steve.
More responsibility for Jeff. And Jeff's also tied into ARW, right? Tied into sales there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a busy man. He's a mover.
Got a lot on his plate. Jeff Hedges, a lot on his plate. If I was you, I would monitor him as well.
When we move in, Alan will bring us a basket of two-day-old muffins.
I would keep a constant watch on him.
I'll do that.
Watch out. Yeah. You know, you ever play leapfrog when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No.
Well, I gotcha.
That's what I'm saying. Watch it, Alan. Just
right,
watch
guys.
It.
Hey, you know, when's your producer starting?
Next. You tell me. You hired her.
I guess it's next week. Is it next week?
Correct.
The first.
Day after Labor Day.
Well, we've got a
Memorial
list.
Day. Memorial Day.
We've got
Memorial
a list Day. Of a million things, and Mike and I were just talking. One of our first things is going to be get us moved.
Amen.
Get us moved.
Great.
She'll be running point on that.
Mm-hmm. Good. I know she's excited.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having Beth Ann join us. Yeah.
Great.
All right.
Me too.
Good appearance, Mr. Linewand.
All right, well, good. I'll talk to you guys later.
You are aces.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking the call.
Can I just tell you who's better, though?
Who?
Jeff Hedges. Right. He's the best.
You got me.
He's the best. All right.
All right, guys.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. It does seem to be a little preoccupied, and, of course, that was an open...
You poured that salt in that wound. Yeah.
Well, the guy's the general manager here. He's the freaking general manager of a big radio station.
And now we are going to be mere steps away from him.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's okay.
You know, really, if you ever have a real issue, it'll just be like, Alan!
That's what makes it so great, Mike.
It'll be the same way. Maybe we could have Rob do it. Rob, because Rob's good at yelling. He really
would you,
is.
Would you call Carrie for us one time?
Carrie!
Hello?
Alan!
Hello, one call before we go to break. Victor.
Is he for real? Is he really that difficult all the time?
Yeah.
Who, Alan? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's him.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. You guys deserve a lot better than that. And I'm going to tell you, I've listened to you for a long time, and you decorated my life.
That's another one.
Love you.
Okay, get out of here. Get out of here.
Yeah, one we missed.
Crazy. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Telling you, you guys are all going to jail. And you are all f***ing out of line. Take my passport. You've been arrested for operating a motor vehicle while under the influence of
alcohol. I was hit by a taxi.
I need you to listen to me, okay?
What?
I need you to listen to me right now.
Was I hit by a taxi?
I don't know, sir. I wasn't out there.
Yeah, oh, no. I was hit by a taxi.
You refused to submit to a taxi.
I won't say anything until you take this stuff.
We'll push in there.
I will not say anything until you take this stuff.
Have you introduced as evidence against
him? I won't say anything until you take this stuff.
At any trial?
I have witnesses to what I drank. One and a half drinks. Okay. Go to hell, you guys. Take these cuffs off.
I act like a gentleman after I have a coffee for nothing. Out.
Relax.
Get out. I'm going to send you all to jail. I have not had a chance in all these hours to call my lawyer.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
My God, do we have a bunch of papers. Cameron is giving us, Cameron, the program director. The program director of the week is giving us all of the tapes from the disc jockeys who are sending ads, sending tapes replying to an ad that the radio station put out.
Okay.
Okay. You might remember, oh, here he is. Hold on a second. Where's the, you want to totally set this up with Cameron? So that he's the program director. Here we go. There he is.
This is for everybody, not just for the few.
Anyway, Cameron Gray, who has a VD, is the program director here.
At WJFK.
That is as plain as you've ever put it.
Nice as me.
Got it. I got news for you. If he's got it, we've got it.
We've all got mm-hmm. it.
So anyway, he gets the tapes for the disc jockeys that want to work at WJFK, want to work for Infinity Broadcast.
All right.
And over the last, month or so, he's given us 5, 6, 7 tapes to listen to. And what we're going to do is pick one out here. We're going to listen to it, and then we're going to call the disc jockey.
All right.
We're going to give the DJ some feedback.
All right, good. That's
maybe,
good.
Maybe he's a DJ who's using the prepared comedy services like we were just reading.
Okay.
Maybe he can take phone calls like we do. Maybe he does impressions like you do.
Is there a maze anywhere out there?
I've not heard the tapes.
I hope so.
Man, I'll tell you, the first one that we're going to listen to, though, is a man who calls himself the Iceman. Oh.
The Iceman. Oh.
The Iceman. And he sent along the 8x10.
Hey, look at that pretty guy.
Very
hey, pretty
what
boy.
It says, says, hi, my name is Farrell K. That's his real name. And I like long walks along the beach and candlelight dinners. Oh, wait, I think I sent the wrong letter. If I still have your attention after that riveting opener, perhaps I can entice you with some of my other talents. I've enclosed my package for your air talent position. After college, I traveled the country, blah, blah, blah. I landed a job at WINK-FM in Fort Myers, Florida, where I did swing shift and weekends. I'm anxious to develop a full-time personality show, and I feel I will be a valuable addition to your station and to your market.
Okay.
I eat, sleep, and breathe pop culture and annoy my friends, family, and coworkers every day with ideas, bits, journals, and contests I keep in my journals.
Hmm.
Several program directors have taken the time to contact me and praise my work. If you're looking for a lovable scoundrel who lives to entertain, I look forward to hearing from
You.
Okay.
Comes from Feral K.
Sounds promising.
Picture up. Incidentally, he's also known as the Iceman.
Uh huh.
The Iceman. We'll hear his tape when we come back.
Very excellent. Good.
Now we've not heard this before.
We haven't heard it.
I'm assuming he's great because Cameron Gray, who has VD, brought the tape in.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll hear his tape in a moment.
Let's go.
Oh, and also I should mention, as long as we're discussing this, the reason we have all these tapes.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we did our Absinthe show? Oh, and Buzz, great news for you and everybody.
Yes.
The Absinthe guy.
The Absinthe guy's coming in
tomorrow.
Very.
Tomorrow the Absinthe guy is coming in.
I'll prepare.
He's bringing the real stuff. He's bringing the stepped-on stuff. He's bringing everything.
Good.
Last time the Absinthe guy, we had Absinthe on the show. Uh-huh. I had partaken and said that it wasn't affecting me, and of course I was.
It was just a delayed reaction.
Yeah. It was. Anyway, Rod and Fez, the DJs that are on after us, they were coming into the building, right? And I said something like, hey, come in here and tell us why you're leaving to go to Tampa Bay, right? Well, they never came. As it turns out, their contract is up. All DJs go through this every couple of years.
Right.
Their contract is up. And I had heard a rumor that they were thinking about going to Tampa Bay, and whatever they do is their own business. I was just commenting on stuff that I had read.
Right.
And also, and I don't know if they know this, I Alex works on their show, Alex Jimenez. Mm-hmm. I asked Alex to give them one of these tapes that Cameron was giving me. Apparently, the reason I thought they were leaving, and maybe they're not leaving, I hope they're not, is that there was an ad out in Radio Trade magazines saying that WJFK had a nighttime opening. And one of these guys that sent the tape in, I showed you the letter, it said, we would be the perfect replacement for Ron and Fez.
Right.
Ouch.
Right.
So I went to Cameron and I said, you know, dude, like, what's the deal?
What's going on here? Yeah.
And here's what Cameron said. The fact that the station put an ad in the trades was a mistake.
Oh.
Now, how do you make a mistake?
That's not the kind of mistake that happens.
When you're putting out an ad in trade publications, and when you're getting a response from people.
I don't get that. But you know what? At this place, that makes sense.
Right. Anything.
It's the kind of answer you get here. Oh, it was a mistake that somebody actually called the publication
and placed the ad. Yeah. And meanwhile, they've got like three boxes of tapes up there.
Sure.
For people who want to come work here.
Sure.
And I'm talking to Alan the other day, and Alan says, oh, yeah, it looks like we're, and I hope I'm not screwing anything, we might be close to a deal with Ron and Fez, the guys that are on after.
That would be wonderful.
I said, that's really great, but why'd you take out the ad?
Right.
And he's...
Was it an insurance policy?
Well, no, see, they won't say that.
Negotiating
they
for
said it was,
they love it when we're talking about this, though.
They said it was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
The ad in the trade was a mistake.
Right.
What's Cameron's phone number?
We make proactive mistakes.
Sure. what is it?
Gonna give Cam a call?
Yeah, 872.
Gee, I wonder if this will get picked up.
We're in our third month waiting to get a renewal of USA Today, but I'm sure they got that in the paper by accident.
Yeah, we asked for the newspaper.
Hi, it's Cameron.
Cameron, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, we're going through these tapes that you gave us.
What's the story with the ad?
Yeah, now, when you originally came down here with these tapes one day, this was off the air, I said, what's the deal? Why are we running? And I showed you the letter with these disc jockeys saying, you know, we could take the place of Ron and Fez. I said, what? What's up with this? And you gave me what I thought was a lame story about how you took out an ad that was an accident?
No. Not at all.
Oh, come on.
I swear to you. That only came from when you said the thing from the Absinthe show. That's when we started getting the stuff.
No. Oh, you know what? Don't do me like this. Don't lie like this on the radio,
dude.
So you're going to say you got all those tapes from disc jockeys across America. You mean our show is that popular that Ron and Fez walked in one day when I was drunk and said to them as they walked into the building, hey, I hear you're going to Tampa. Why don't you come in and talk about it? Based on that, you got all these letters?
I think so.
No way.
You are a liar.
No way.
As a matter of fact, I'll tell you where you told me you ran the ad, you son of a bitch.
What?
You told me you ran the ad that was a mistake in the Columbia School of Broadcasting.
What? We don't even run ads there.
You are so lying.
They get a thing called the on-air job tip sheet.
You are so lying.
Okay.
You are so lying. God.
Fascinating.
Is there anybody here that remembers when Cameron said that to me?
I do.
I know. Robbie?
Yeah.
Didn't he? Now listen, Cameron, I swear on my kid's life, I ain't lying that you said this.
We never placed an ad. We placed an ad for the position for your producer.
You are such a liar. I don't care what tangled web.
So you never said that you made a mistake?
No.
Did an ad Robin? Turn up that you didn't play?
Hold on. Rob was in here with me when you came in that day.
I wish I had the exact details, but I remember you saying there was an accidental ad placed at that broadcast school. What? Or an accident, something, a help wanted notice or something. And it was an accident, and it was at the CBS. Or the CSB.
Right.
So.
They don't even take ads. I don't even think they take ads.
So you don't remember coming in the studio that day. So what do you think, Rob and I are lying to you now?
No, I don't think anyone's lying.
Well, no, I think you're lying. Because you came in the studio that day.
Hey, you know, it's easy enough to figure out. Well, if we get one of these guys on the air, we'll talk to him. So where did you hear about the opening?
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Are you smart?
Sure.
Man, Mike, are you smart?
Yes, he is.
Bye, Cameron.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, he didn't like that.
Got to ask him if he wants to go on the air. We'll what if he does want to come on the air? You can ask off
Rob,
the air.
You can ask him. Hold on. We'll call it Feral K.
Hi, Rob.
Calling him on his cell phone right now. You got it, Robbie?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. This is the guy whose tape we're going to hear in a second.
Good. The Iceman.
These guys, what the hell's going on around here? What's wrong with just being honest?
Go through that whole stack of stuff and just call until you get somebody who'll be able to tell you where they saw the ad.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Because our...
Or say that, they just heard us talking about it, so they decided they'd send it out.
You know, I wish that we had a show that was so popular that one day when we're drinking, if I made one offhanded comment... What?
Answering machine.
Oh, okay.
All right, hold on.
Too bad.
Then try these guys. Try Jeff and Mike from San Diego.
Jeff and Mike.
Hold on.
7-6-7-3-8.
Jeff and Mike
show.
Right. Stop it, Rob. Killing me with that. These would be Jeff and Mike.
Right.
We've not heard their tape yet. But I know that they're the guys.
I mean, that's the quickest way to figure this out.
Mm-hmm. How did you find out? Why did you send a tape, WJFK?
Yeah. No, I mean, where did you? How'd you hear about the opening?
Another answering machine?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ! All right, how about this guy? How about Rob Girard?
Oh, he's good.
Here's another guy.
They got all these tapes based on our show.
The number you dialed is not a working number. Please check the number and dial again.
For a DJ?
Give me a second. We only got a million of these things. Here's a guy from Evansville, Indiana, sending a tape. You know, I'd say for just being mentioned on our show one time, a throwaway mention when I was drunk.
No, it's not going to happen if you got American Idol numbers.
And now, Robbie, you're asking for a guy named Tommy Mason.
Okay. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Rob.
How about Cameron? How about just... I mean, I swear to Christ to you, the guy said to me, he came down with Rob and I, we didn't even mention it on the air.
Hey, Tommy, it's Rob Spiewak with KFM in Washington, D.C. How are you? Can we put your voice on the air? Can you talk to Don and Mike a second? Okay, hang on.
I'm good.
Okay.
I knew they were.
It'd be an easy question. It'd be an easy question to answer. Hey, Tommy?
Yes?
Hi, welcome to the show. Tommy, we see that you applied for a job here. You work at Y107 Classic Hits, Evansville, Indiana. May we ask you why you sent a tape to WJFK for a job?
Well, I'm in the middle of my radio career. Things didn't work out in the last place, and now I'm unemployed.
And did you see an ad somewhere?
Yeah, I did.
Do you know what? Do you remember what publication it was in?
Probably online.
Online
but or online job tip sheet?
From CSB, Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
What's that?
We're just trying to figure out where the ad ran.
Let me just ask you something. But you did see an ad that WJFK took out.
Is this a slow show prep day?
No, we're not trying to... We're having a little dispute with our program director.
I swear to God, we're not busting your balls.
No.
Okay.
We've gone through a bunch of these tapes just trying to get an answer to a question because we think we're being jerked around
our
here. Not for our position, but for another position.
I understand.
The program director lied. He came in and told me that he's put out an ad in the trades.
And he originally said it was by mistake, and then we called him on the air today, and when we talked to him today, he said, no, it was just because we had mentioned that the guys at night were going somewhere, and that's why we got all these tapes.
And I know that he said...
And we're just trying to clear it up.
So you read an ad in one of the radio trade magazines.
Yeah, either I paid for it or it was on the trade, on the website.
So either you subscribed to a tip sheet and they gave it to you, but somebody had to take out an ad and say that they were...
Yeah, it did specifically say the call letters.
Yeah. All right, listen, Tommy, thank you. See you.
Hey, are you guys still on Wausau?
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Okay, I want to say hello to Watts. I got fired that town. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody specifically you'd like to say hi to?
No, not really.
Okay. And listen, you know...
Hey, if you got any job openings, let me know.
Well, I don't think we do. But then again, you know, you never know. We might need a new program director.
I can push buttons, too.
Because the guy we got is one hell of a liar. Tommy, thank you.
It was great to be on with you. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Good luck.
Thanks, my friend.
Bye-bye. Very good.
Bye-bye. I know we got a break, but...
Interesting.
All back upstairs.
Fascinating.
Oh, now Cameron's not picking up his telephone.
Oh, this place.
Unbelievable! Excuse me, I burped.
Wow.
Yeah, don't pick up the phone. That makes you look good.
Hi, this is Cameron Gray, operator for 106.7 WJFK.
Good man.
Give me a message, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks for calling.
Jeez. I'll record your message at the tone. When you're finished, hang up or stay on the line for further options.
Hey, Pinocchio! I'm putting out an ad in the trade. Come on!
Nose grower!
We are not dumb. Who says we're dumb? We ain't dumb. Pick up your phone, ass. Pick up your phone.
No, look, here he comes. He's walking.
Ah,
there he
live.
Is.
You,
Cameron.
There's the ad.
Ah.
I challenge you to call those people and see if we placed it.
Hold on a sec.
Wait. All right, now wait. Hold on a second. Wait, let's see. What's this? What is this?
What do you mean? Let's see if they placed it. The guy, we just had a guy saying he read. Here's what
if I placed it.
Oh, so you didn't, someone else did.
I'm telling you, I never played
here's
that
what the,
a prankster.
Hold on. Here's
right, now, wait a minute. Hold on. A
no, don't do that, Buzz.
Here's what.
Sorry. Don't give him an out like that. Here's what the ad.
I'm
here's
not
what
giving
the,
him an out.
Here's what the ad says.
Prankster.
Here's what the ad says. And incidentally, a lot of these jobs I see on here are real jobs. You know,
yeah.
ARW, WWMX. Here's what it says. Night Air Talent, WJFK FM, Cameron Gray. Format, Modern Talk. Night team of Ron and Fez are leaving shortly to return to Florida and mornings on WXTB. Leaves a really quality gig open in D.C. Full time, send tape and resume, EOE, major market experience, no calls.
Question, and this will clear this up. How do they place those? How does the, is this a tip sheet, Cameron? Is this what this
God,
is?
God, before CSB sent that, I never even heard of it.
So this is some sort of tip sheet.
Listen, here's the thing. Dude, look me in the eye.
I swear to you.
Look me in the eye. That day you were in the studio, you said we ran that ad as a mistake. You said we ran the ad as a mistake. I swear on my son's life, Cameron, I don't BS about that. You said it.
We must have been talking about two.
And now you.
Well, wait. Hold on a second. There's a way to figure this out.
Call that.
You call the tip sheet and find out how do ads get in that tip sheet.
Where they
get it? What do they? Do they base it solely on people that take ads out from radio stations, or do they hear stuff on the? How do they do it?
Cameron, I don't know.
I'm honest to God.
We
don't
can
know.
Call
I'm
them.
I'm not calling you a liar.
Why don't we call them? I'm sure they've got a phone number.
We got a break. All I know is all the other jobs that I see are real jobs. WARW, mm-hmm. Michael Hughes. That's the name.
I thought you were going to say a joke.
No.
WARW, Michael Hughes, available.
That's soon, Mike. But that's the job. WWMX, Baltimore, looking for a program director, Bob Woodward. Hold on, here's WWWX, Philadelphia. There's a lot of jobs here.
Mm-hmm.
Promotion director.
My question is, do all those jobs, are they based on ads that are taken out, or is that also, could that conceivably be a rumor sheet?
No, impossible. Look at the format for
also,
it, Mike.
In my defense, the text of that ad mentions the rumors of Tampa and a radio station. Why would we put that in an ad?
I don't know why you would. I don't know why you would.
I did not.
You didn't. So what happened that day you came in and said to me?
Honest to God, Don, I don't even know.
Let's find out.
We got to call the tip sheet. That's the only way to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We got to break first. And then we will. Thank you, Cameron.
Thank you.
Fascinating.
So it's just because our show is so scary popular that you're getting all these tapes.
The best show on the dial.
It has nothing to do with the ad that we just read or the guy from Wisconsin who said he read the ad.
No, my contention is that the tip sheet got the tip from you guys And then that's where we got the tapes and resumes.
That is an easy fact to figure out.
It's 100% garbage. I'll call right now. I don't care how late we're running. Because nobody...
Your show does have a lot of power.
Somebody gave them this.
Yeah, come on. Nobody takes... I say a lot of junk on this show, Cameron. I'm constantly saying you stink as a program director. You should be fired.
Right.
I don't see an ad out there saying Cameron's job is open.
See, full-time at the bottom. Here's the thing that makes me think that couldn't happen. Because this is full-time, send tape and resume, EOE, major market experience required, no calls.
Like, yeah, look at it. It's not like a rumor sheet where someone writes, hey, I think there's a job open somewhere. And frankly, Cameron, if that's published somewhere and it's not true, how come you're not getting on your high horse calling them up saying, hold on, you're misrepresenting my station and my name?
I found an even better way to prove this. All these ads cost money. I had to have done a PO to place the ad. There's no PO for it. Check with accounting.
That's been shredded, Cameron. We know that.
Come on. All right, get out of here, you liar.
All right.
Just get out of here, please. He's so bad. He's such a liar.
I need closure.
Mike, I'm giving you the closure. I mean, I'll do some research on this tomorrow. But I'm trying to look at this.
I think we need to do all our research, and we have to expose this conspiracy.
Here's what it is. There's an ad that's in a publication, mm-hmm. and there's a box full of tapes.
The one thing, here's what we call. We call the guys that do this and say, do you run ads based on rumors you hear, or are they all paid ads? And the guy says, we never run a rumor, an ad based on a rumor. Because we'd get in trouble doing that.
Hold on. Here's somebody I can call. Let me ask somebody here.
I think we should also specifically ask them who did place the ad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do people, I mean, are these all paid ads? That's the question. Because there's a list of
suspects. Are these all paid ads? That's all you have to ask. Hold on a second. I'm going to call it there. I'm going to pick it up. See if he's in the office now.
A whole list of suspects.
Because here's a guy who, in this area, who we know, it has an ad in here. Come on, is he there? It's after 6 o'clock. He won't be there today.
Yeah. We'll find out.
Alan Burns has an ad.
Well, Alan Burns.
Hey, it's Alan Burns.
You know what I mean? I hate it when this stuff happens. Closure.
Hold on. Five. I think it was press 5 for Alan Burns. What have I done?
Oh, my
voicemail hell. Invalid entry.
Mm.
Okay, let me hear what his number is. Hold on.
Right.
Alan Burns. For Alan Burns, press 1-5. Okay, I've pressed 1-5.
Okay.
Please wait. Because he's a guy that we know.
Right.
And his company, he's a consultant. They have an ad out.
Yeah.
So it'll be simple enough. Alan, did you take this ad out yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Except he's not going to pick up the phone.
No.
All right. It's after 6 o'clock and he's a consultant. Why would he be there?
The easiest way to do it is to find out the tip sheet.
Yeah.
Who runs the tip sheet? Call the guy that runs the tip sheet, one phone call. It's
And Alan is on vacation until Tuesday, May 20th.
It's just like the days when he used to consult us.
Must be nice.
All right, so Don,
that's the way to do it, though. The easiest way to do it, call this tip sheet once and for all, find out.
We will, okay?
And you know what? It's a win-win for us, because here's the situation. Either that was a paid ad taken out by someone here who's lying, or this show's so damn hot, we just talk about a job and it's all over the trades.
Mm-hmm. Keep believing that. Keep believing that. That's why we're on in so many major markets.
It just doesn't seem
because our show is so powerful. That's why we're on in Chicago and Los Angeles and New York.
It just seems to me a little unusual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what the odds of this happening? Some guy in Wichita heard it.
Okay.
That's how it would happen for our show.
Right.
No, they took it out. I know they did. We have a buttload of commercials we got to get in.
You're just being honest.
There's the truth.
As are you, darling.
Yes, you're always a woman to me. See, once again, comes full circle.
See, now you got to turn it around.
That's
on
right, and see, and you didn't even get upset at
that. No, not at all.
But Cameron's going home in the trunk of one of our cars tonight.
He is our bitch. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And, I had to look over at a certain point during the meal and see a waitress taking an order, and I found myself wondering what color her underpants might be. Her panties. Odds are they're probably basic white cotton underpants. But I started thinking, well, maybe they're silk panties. Maybe it's a thong. Maybe it's something really cool that I don't even know about, you know. And I started feeling. I guess what I'm trying to say is that now that I'm married, I'm definitely feeling a little freaked out about the fact that I'm going to have sex with only one person for the rest of my life.
The Don and Mike Show.
Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Briefly summarize the last segment.
A mystery.
They're lying.
Yep.
That's the only fact.
Mm-hmm.
They're lying.
We're going to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. The program director is just lying to us.
We're going to figure it out.
Listen, and here's the thing.
Technically, he may not be lying because technically,
he might be covering for somebody
he might
else.
Be covering for somebody else.
You know, that's why Cameron could say.
Our contention now would be that the radio station took an ad out.
Right. And I understand.
The company.
And here's the thing. I don't. If it's a. Ron and Fez are two guys that are on after us.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I don't know if they like us or don't like us. We like their show. We've always liked their show. But there's been that Opie and Anthony thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, between us and them. And we've never really caught on with them. And I don't know if they were pissed that I said something that day. You know, hey, are you going to Tampa? It's because I heard rumors. I know that they're in a contract negotiation. I don't want to get in the middle of their stuff. And I understand if the station took out an ad
mm-hmm.
because they're covering themselves in case Ron and Fez go somewhere. You know what that's called? That's called leverage. Both sides have leverage.
Right.
Let these two guys work out their own deal.
Mm-hmm.
But they should know that Cameron was giving me these tapes long before we had this absinthe show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When I spilled out one day and just said, hey, if you're going to Tampa, come
sure.
in and tell us.
Exactly.
Yeah. He'd been giving me these tapes for the longest time. And what? And when's the last time he brought a tape? Like 5 years ago? It's like all of a sudden they just all come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
These tapes all just come out of nowhere.
Yeah, and we're going to get to the bottom of it and find out. The first thing is going to be getting through the guy that has that tip sheet and finding out how he gets his stuff.
Let me just say this. If that's truly the show power that we have,
mm-hmm.
Then I hear Bill O'Reilly's leaving WJFK to go work at WMAL. I really hear that. Hey, Bill, why don't you come on and tell us about that?
Let's take some tapes and resumes for the midday show.
Yeah, because in theory, if that's the case, if our show is so all-encompassing and
then
so
that'll
powerful,
be on the tip sheet tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
D.A.
Dummies. Damn dummies. And why he couldn't just say, hey, be cool about it, it's a negotiating thing.
Right.
You know, because I played it cool off the air with this guy for the longest time. Mm-hmm. When he gave me the tape with the guys from San Diego, where it said, I want to replace these other guys. I swear to God, again, I went to Cameron and said, dude, you're giving me this.
Well, also the thing with them, with those guys, with Ron and Fez, that's in the rumor mill as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it's not from our show.
No, so I said to Cameron, I said, when he gave me this tape of the bad disc jockey, I said, do you want to give me this tape that says these guys want Ron and Fez's job? I said, I don't feel comfortable reading that. He said, yeah, maybe you're right about that. Mm-hmm. And he took the letter.
Or maybe we were given that tape and then we were getting played.
Maybe we were.
Maybe the whole ad is just to play them a little bit, right?
Maybe. Here's the thing.
I mean, I don't trust management.
Sure. They ain't that smart, though. They ain't that smart.
Those guys?
I mean, the management guys. Mm-hmm. They're not smart enough. They're really not. And what dopes they are. Cameron, you freaking liar. You know, for the last time, I heard it, and Rob is afraid of getting fired, so he won't say it. But I'm telling you, Rob was in here, too, and he heard you say the exact same thing. Oh, yeah, that ad was put in the trades as a mistake.
Which, you know, now you're lying about the lot.
Yeah. Buzz, what do you think? You've listened to this whole thing.
I think somebody in the company placed the ad. I'd like to find out who. I think it was a negotiating ploy and a little insurance just in case they did leave, and I hope they don't.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's the message we all want to get,
right.
Is that we hope that they don't.
Right.
And it's not our place to talk about their business.
Right.
I only bring this up now because...
And having gone through negotiations with these people here, Ron and Fez, good luck with those guys, because we know how difficult that time is, and I hope they stay, too, and we understand more than anybody else how difficult it is to negotiate.
If I was you, I'd do what I did. I just freaking tell them. I'm talking to Bennett Zier.
Right.
Just tell them. Who's calling us now? Hello?
Alan.
Hello, Alan.
There you go.
Hey. I just want to, you know, I just heard this last segment, because I just got out of a meeting.
Yeah. That's like, you haven't really been listening, but go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. So... I got to tell you, you had that conversation with me.
Oh, was it him?
It wasn't Cameron.
Oh, was it really? Was it Alan?
It wasn't in the studio. It was. I think it was in my office.
No, Alan, you know what? You're talking about a different time because Cameron came in with the same lie and said it in front of Rob and I.
Okay, I can't speak to that. I can only tell you that I had that conversation because I heard from Cameron that somebody at CSB put it on a tip sheet accidentally.
Okay, but hold on. Have you seen the thing? Have you seen it? It's not a tip sheet. It's an ad. It's an ad that has CBS, has EEO, you know, all that stuff.
I mean, we're gonna, we can find
it. Okay, well, I just want you to know that I know you had that conversation with me.
And, okay, then are you willing to go on the record if Cameron's not? Did you tell me that running the ad was a mistake?
Yes, I did. That's what I'm telling you.
Oh, okay, well, now that's been, that part's been cleared up.
So who put the ad in?
But the mistake was not.
I know the ad wasn't put in by anybody at this radio station.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, liar.
Nobody in this company put that ad out.
Okay. Yeah, then how come this company, which is so goddamn litigious, is not going after whatever this trade sheet is to say, hey, you've misrepresented our company?
I'd like to find out about. We have to find out about this tip sheet.
It was very detailed and proactive. This ad, very detailed.
Well, I'll get a copy of it from Cameron.
Yeah, Cameron's got it.
Because you've not seen it, even though you spoke about it.
You know, and really, Alan, seriously, we're more than willing to hear. You know what the end result of this is, because now everybody.
Well, now I'm curious. So.
No, good. I want to find out. Hey, you know, if this gets in because of rumors or so, if they use that, but it sure didn't look like that when we read the ad.
Sure doesn't.
It looked like somebody placed an ad.
I don't believe Cameron lied to you.
Listen, Alan, let's not go down this whole family thing, because you're right. I did have a separate conversation with you,
okay. And
you also told me that it was a mistake to run, that you didn't mean to run the ad. But Cameron came in.
No, I didn't say we didn't mean to run the ad.
Are you saying?
I said somebody placed it through CSB.
What is CSB?
On their website. That's what I told you.
Columbia School of Broadcasting.
Columbia or Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Somebody placed it?
On a website, I was told, and it was taken off.
Well, see, you should see the thing that we're looking at. It doesn't look like something from a website.
Well, when we find out where this originated, that and that's easily information that's easily ascertainable.
Yes, it is.
So tomorrow,
we should be able to figure this out pretty quickly.
Oh, we'll be able to.
Yeah, and we will.
We'll figure it out pretty quickly.
Okay.
But you do remember saying to me in your office that running the ad was a mistake.
I don't think that's exactly what I said.
Mistake.
I think what I said is that ad was, or whatever it was placed accidentally by somebody at CSB.
Such a bad liar.
It's CSB.
Okay, so we're all liars. But anyway, I just wanted to clear the record.
Yeah, okay, we're all
right,
liars.
All right, we'll find it. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
So the plot thickens.
Yeah.
We get no answers, really.
Fascinating.
We do get one answer. One thing's been cleared up.
Yes.
That there's an acknowledgement of the fact that an ad was run.
Correct.
Of course, Cameron brought that in, too. This is easy, guys. This is easy to figure. Guys.
Hey, guys.
This is easy.
Guys.
We got to talk to the CSB tomorrow.
Mike, we got to do this right now. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You like football, Mary?
Yes, I do. I'm a big fan.
The magic dragon.
Great song.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Who would have thought it wasn't really about a dragon, huh?
What do you mean?
You know, the whole drug thing.
No, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
Some people think that to puff the magic dragon means they're really to smoke a marijuana cigarette.
Well, puff is just the name of the boy's magical dragon.
Right.
Are you a pothead, Falker?
No. No. What? No. Jack. No, I'm not. I pass on grass all the time. I mean, not all the time.
Yes or no, Greg?
No. Yes. No.
The Don and Mike Show. Expertly aged like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
I'm not content to be with you.
Yes, we sent Joe Ardinger, world's oldest phone screener, out on a mission. You remember back in 1987?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you don't. Joe does. When the cicadas were first here?
I'm not sure he does.
17 years ago?
Right.
Remember we played this tape for you last week?
really from 1987, Joe got loaded and went out in his yard in the middle of the night to tape the cicadas.
Mm-hmm. 3:30 a.m.
Check. 1, 2, 3. This is Ardinger. And we're foraging out into my front lawn at this very minute. It's about 3:20 on Sunday morning.
And that was 17 years ago.
Yes, it was.
We asked him over the weekend to recreate the same magic.
Could he succeed?
Let's hear just a little bit of it.
Mike, check it, check it, check it. Ooh, that's sweet.
Joe?
Here, I have to turn this up as much as I can.
Same recorder.
He's wasted.
I don't know if you're catching that, but that is the background sound.
Hold on, now you tell me if you can tell the difference. This is Joe 17 years ago.
Check. 1, 2, 3. This is Ardinger.
And here he is now.
Of our sister station, WCXS. And let me back off the microphone a little bit. Maybe I'll pull off the level.
Yeah, he is ageless.
More sophisticated.
Yeah. He's evergreen, isn't he really?
He is ageless.
Joe Evergreen Ardinger.
If you will. Our sister station.
Well, anyway, obviously, he's drunk. He's supposed to be out there with the cicadas doing his...
Much more plugged in to the way radio works, though, our sister station.
For 17 years. Now, as it turns out, we asked Joe to go out this year and get bombed, and as it turns out, this is not something we're going to be able to hear in one segment. There are 5 different cuts on this Joe tape, and you should also know that he called Rob... And he called Buzz in the middle of the night while he was drunk making this tape. And we do have saved the messages that he sent to Rob.
Very good.
You know, you ever just feel sometimes the God above is watching out for you? For some reason, I left my cell phone in the car this weekend.
Right.
And that's the only reason I didn't get out of bed at 1:10 and 1:14.
I did. I got out of bed.
Now, he
did you get out of bed, Buzz? Yes, I did.
Buzz.
Yes.
So let's hear the beginning of Joe's tapes. Then we can hear the messages he left for Rob.
Uh-huh.
Again, the assignment was, Joe, recreate the magic that you did back in 1987. And here's Joe from this past weekend, bombed in his backyard.
Micah, check it, check it, check it. Ooh, that's sweet.
This is the now Joe, right?
I have to turn this up as much as I can.
Over the weekend. That sounds like the TV's on.
I don't know if you're catching that, but that is the background sound of our sister station, WCXS. And let me back off the microphone a little bit. Maybe I'll pull off the level a bit, because now I'm much more sophisticated, much more
drunk.
Professional, if you will.
Yes.
Anyway, our sister station, WCXS. Something.
Uh-huh.
I never heard of that station.
I don't know. The classic CXS, rock station.
Is he around here?
You know, the one that
is he talking about Arrow?
You hear Fleetwood Mac, but...
Isn't that Tom Gavin's
public access
TV station?
Either way, let's push ahead, because he knows not what he's talking about here.
Bothered or otherwise followed by Led Zeppelin. Because if you don't believe me... Then just listen. Right now they're playing commercials, which is very much like our station. WJFK, 106.7, Washington Superstation. Hey, I'm going to push pause for a second, okay? Don't go away. Okay, listen, this is Ardinger, and I'm checking in at 12:45 a.m.
Good joke.
I'll be back soon.
We've
got a lot going on that. We're going to get those locusts, and we'll talk more about that after this.
Hey, here's the deal. You know, it's a little earlier for Joe now. You know, it was 3 o'clock when he was a younger man. Now,
1 o'clock.
You know, by 11 o'clock, he's all ramped up.
Check test. 1, 2.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, my. I got to hear that one again.
Check test. 1, 2. Oh, excuse me.
Introducing Average Joe.
Some of those locusts in my throat. Listen, tonight it's Ardinger, and we're going to do some interviews on my cell phone.
Ah.
Now, you won't be able to hear them. But it'll be cool because I have a lot of really great people on my list. Let me just check and see what I've got here. Well, I've got Buzz Burbank. I can call him. And it's, you know, it's early right now. It's only 12:53 a.m. Uh-huh. And that's nowhere close to when I'm going to go out and check out the Locust.
Ah.
Now, keep in mind, I'm giving him his props. Yeah. He's doing a full-fledged show.
We keep saying Locust, but we're actually sending him out for cicadas.
This is so much better. This is better, and he's doing something. He didn't just walk outside and try to find bugs this time. He's doing a whole show.
Right.
Hey, Rob, can you pull your cell phone up?
Yeah.
Can you pull those messages up? You can hear the messages that he left Rob. Uh-huh. You're going to hear on this tape where he does call Buzz.
Yes.
And he actually holds the tape recorder up to the cell phone.
Very cool.
So you can hear Buzz at 1 o'clock in the morning. You know,
1:30.
You
know, what the hell are you doing, Joe?
Hello? Hello? But he did not get a hold of Robbie.
Actually, you know what?
Just do it on the air?
Yeah, we can do it on the air.
All right, here we go. Okay. You press the buttons. Go ahead. Yeah. Is it connected?
Not there. It's ringing.
Hi, it reached me.
Hello, he's got his name shot. I can't make fun of him, though. I stole it. It's the greatest thing. I got a jingle on my phone. People never figure out.
Right.
What was that thing? They were singing your name? And come on, fourth ring. Here we go.
You have reached the Sprint voice mailbox of
Rob Spiewak. Rob Spiewak.
Okay, now pot it down. Okay. Uh-huh. I saw your code.
First, save
message. Now you can have all my messages.
From
Joe.
Because that's what I've lived for.
Here we go.
Received May 30th at 1:33 a.m.
Oh, right after me.
Hey, Rob, you're live on Ardinger here. It's called Ardinger here, and you're live on it. So pick up the phone, please.
He's not calling you to hold his phone yourself.
I don't have any locusts out here or cicadas or any of that stuff, and I need a guess real quick.
I need a guess.
And I don't have Don's number, so could you give me Don's number maybe, and then I'll call him?
Boy, was I lucky.
Well, maybe not. Probably a good idea. You know, you always think of the right things, Rob. Hey, thanks. I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Harbinger, out.
Is there a second message?
Yeah. To send a reply message, press 2.
No.
To erase, press 7. Message saved. Next message from
Joe.
Received May 30th at 2:04 a.m.
Wow.
Hey, Rob. I want you to be a guest on my show.
Yeah.
So pick up your phone. I know you're not doing anything better. Anyway, Ardinger out.
Introducing.
You're making my new show. It's called Ardinger Now.
Ardinger Now.
Ardinger Now.
Maybe it's called Ardinger something. I don't know.
It was Ardinger Inn before. Ardinger here.
You said
Ardinger here.
Them and they're not here yet.
What? Joe?
Joe?
This is just on Rob's cell. Lets it go?
Come on.
What happened here?
Oh, I gotta turn off the phone, man.
Okay, we get the gist of that. Here now is Joe Ardinger, our man.
Hi, Joe. If you listen to the CD that I made, that entire message is on the other end.
No, I understand. We're going to hear that. That's right. Why I played that first. So
it's a preview.
You told me when you called Buzz, you put the microphone by the phone so you can actually hear Buzz. In that case, we won't hear Rob. We'll just hear you giving the message. It's funny to hear the message on Rob's phone.
It's great. Better to hear it on the machine.
Mm-hmm. So, Joe, what was your drink of choice on the Saturday Eve?
Well, it was Miller Lite, of course.
A can of beer.
Wow. And, yes.
Weekends here have 1,000 cans of beer.
1,000 cans of beer and a couple of shots of Rain vodka that Rob gave me for my birthday. Well, just listen to the gentle as rain.
And you were unsuccessful in your pursuit of cicadas, right?
There were no bugs out that night.
But it sounds like a great Joe show experience. How many different cuts do you have on this?
Five.
Five cuts.
And I went until I couldn't even hold my head up anymore. So it just kind of ends. Wow. So it's the combination of
The celebrating and the fatigue, right? I mean, you just ran out of gas.
I am 40.
Yeah. Joke. I was saying it sounded like you got ramped up a little early, but then when I hear the call, 2 o'clock, I mean, you're maintaining the same hours. That's not bad.
A dedicated broadcaster.
Yes, you are. All right, get out of here.
That's quality entertainment.
World's oldest phone screener. I am 40. Ardinger here. Don't forget how much he loves his magician.
He loves
on his birthday show.
On air and off air.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm certainly. Oh yeah, and you don't want to miss my on-air shot of vodka, followed by an on-air shot of Kentucky moonshine, and I'm not telling where I got that from.
Oh dear.
So don't call John Ashcroft and bitch to him about what's going on the radio tonight.
Listen, there you go. We're going to save this for a whole segment tomorrow.
Good. It deserves it.
There's too much Joe. There's too much drunk stream of consciousness Joe.
Joe all over the place.
I could listen to this. If we had started this 4 hours ago, we'd still be playing it now.
Absolutely.
We wouldn't have gotten anything on today's show.
Don't even tell him I said bitch.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want John Ashcroft to associate himself with the word bitch. You know? The guy doesn't even dance.
He's angry. Right.
Deep thoughts from Joe.
Right. Wow.
And Buzz, in this segment that we're going to hear, he does reach you on the telephone at 1:10 a.m.?
He does. We have a conversation of about 2.5 minutes, I think.
Wowsy woo-woo.
Yeah.
And from what I could garner there, no cicadas.
No, they're not around. No. This area, especially, I mean, you've got them in certain places, and they're not in others.
I think the greatest thing about that is his concern when he called me was, I need a guest.
I need a guest to finish the show.
I need a guest to finish the show.
Ardinger, here or now?
Here and now, Joe Ardinger.
Here and now. There he is.
He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink.
Ashcroft.
He doesn't drug. He doesn't dance. Anyway.
We'll hear all of Joe's cicada drunk tapes tomorrow.
And then we'll check in on Rabe. And, who else? I really don't have that many people on my phone.
Joe, in pursuit of the 17-year cicada, which really now, would you agree, has just gone so totally mainstream, has gone national.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's in every national publication.
You know, here I was a month ago yelling at you, saying we were trying to do a semi-national regional show.
Mm-hmm.
You're going on and on about these bugs.
Don't you understand that there are certain kinds of pop culture that I do tap into?
And Mike, that chimes for you.
Thank you very much.
And you know what else only happens once every 17 years?
What's that?
A call from Faye Weber.
Faye Weber?
Faye?
This is me.
Oh, my God. God bless you.
Hi.
Faye, how are you, darling?
I'm here. My boy, Mike, is in the hospital.
No, honey. I'm not in the hospital. I'm going in just to get a little heart check. It's nothing major.
Welcome to this edition of Patient to Patient.
I haven't spoken to you guys for at least 10 years.
Oh,
been a while.
How you doing,
Faye?
Been a long
time,
Faye.
Last time I was with you, we're 50 years married, and you gave me a beautiful bouquet of flowers. I was in an auditorium in Washington, D.C.
That's right.
I remember that.
The show.
Now, why are we still playing this music?
Now I'm married 61 years.
Wow. You're married, and Seymour's still doing well?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
He's a well one, not me.
Oh, you're still not feeling too well, huh, Faye?
Don't forget I had cancer 10 years ago.
Oh, you know, you did, and I really, when we talked to you the last time, I thought that might be the last time we chat with you, and you're still surviving.
As Beyonce thinks, she's a survivor.
I can't get through to you. They don't let me get in on you.
She outwitted, she outplayed, mm-hmm. Survivor.
Yes, sir.
Cancer. She's a survivor.
Way to go, Faye. And how you feeling now?
Fine. How's your wife, Frieda?
Oh, my wife, Frieda's fine. Thank you for asking.
And how is Mike's wife?
I'm no longer married, Faye. I'm separated now.
You're no longer married?
I've been separated 2 years.
Oh, my God. You got two children, don't you?
Yes, I do, Faye. Yeah, and I'm going to get my heart checked tomorrow. Yes, life moves forward, Faye.
I'm next Monday to test my heart.
What?
What, Faye?
I'm going next Monday to have my heart tested.
Oh, good for you, Faye. That makes me feel better.
I miss you so much.
We miss you.
We miss you too, Faye.
Okay, Mike, come live with me. me and my husband.
I will. I'd love to, Faye. That would be a dream come true.
Faye and Seymour Weber.
I still go to Florida.
Wow. For those who don't know, when Mike and I did the morning show almost 20 years ago, Faye was one of our regular callers way back in the day, way back in the 80s.
Faye, may I ask, how young are you now? What is your current age, if you don't mind me asking? How old?
81 years old.
81 years old.
81.
God bless you.
And I was going with you guys when I was in a house. How long am I going with sticking to you guys?
Almost 20 years, Faye. 20 years, Faye.
Even more, because we went traveling. We went to Ireland.
That's right.
We once took her on a trip with us.
We did. It was absolutely delightful.
On a radio station trip.
Yes.
Not a private trip.
No.
With Mike and I and this lady.
It was delightful.
All right, Faye, always good to hear from you, darling.
I know. I adopted you two guys.
You did, darling.
Well, we love you very much, Faye.
And I love you. I'll call you once in a while.
Thank you, Faye.
That's nice, Faye.
Take care, sweetheart. Bye-bye, booby.
Bye-bye. Mike will see you in heaven very soon.
Bye-bye.
So long. Bye, Faye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Here she goes.
All right.
Faye Weber.
And continuing our time capsule show.
Going in Monday.
What are the odds that she calls today?
That's amazing. That is truly amazing. That's Faye Weber.
That's as odd as the cicada thing. I mean,
and
a while.
Seymour talks like that. Remember her husband?
And we used to send porno over, and he would love it, like just a magazine.
Yeah. He'd love that more than anything in the world.
He'd call the morning show. They would call us every day. Hello, Don and Mike. It's Seymour and Faye.
I got your magazines. They're fantastic.
Almost as rare as a call from Faye Weber is Joe Artinger going out and doing the cicada thing.
Happens every 17 years.
Here he is. Now we're going to pick this up where we dropped it yesterday in the second segment. It's the middle of the night this past weekend. Joe's hammered, and he's reporting on the cicadas.
Right.
Check test, 1, 2. Oh, excuse me.
Just like you did 17 years ago.
Some of those locusts in my throat. Listen, tonight it's Artinger, and we're going to do some interviews on my cell phone. Now, you won't be able to hear them.
My cell phone.
But it'll be cool because I have a lot of really great people on my list. Let me just check and see what I've got here. Well, I've got Buzz Burbank. I can call him. And it's early right now.
Can I say something about this?
Yeah.
You really could take actors and say, if you want to play a drunk on TV or in the movies, you want to study the vocal patterns, which you're really just more than anything else, it's just... You know, when you're doing it drunk in a show, it's just tired.
And the setup on this is that 17 years ago, before we knew him, when the cicadas were here the last time, Joe got hammered and went out with a tape recorder. And he still had the tape, and he brought it in, and he played it.
Mm-hmm. This is Artinger.
And we asked him, hold on.
It's actually even a little more like, man.
I've got the other. Here's the 1987, Joe.
And on this one, you hear cicadas, even though you don't hear them on this particular one. They're not out in the middle of the night.
Right. Now, here's the original tape, just so you know where we're coming from 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm. There they are.
This is Artinger.
All right, now that was Joe Joe at 23, and here's Joe at 40.
12:53 a.m., and that's nowhere close to when I'm going to go out and check out the locusts. But I'm certainly. Oh yeah, and you don't want to miss my on-air shot of vodka, followed by an on-air shot of Kentucky moonshine. And I'm not telling where I got that from,
okay.
So don't call John Ashcroft and bitch to him about what's going on in the radio.
Always a political agenda with Joe.
Absolutely.
Don't even tell him I said bitch.
Like a good hippie.
Because I wouldn't want John Ashcroft to associate himself with the word bitch. The guy doesn't even dance. He doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, he doesn't drug, he doesn't dance. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then we'll check in on Rabe, and Who else? Well, I really don't have that many people on my phone.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm looking. We called the snow line at WJFK maybe later.
Now, I should explain. That is one of the inside, like, bat phones.
Yeah, it's a secret number.
Mm-hmm. They call it the snow phone because here's how it works, allegedly.
This is great.
Is that when we're going to get a snowstorm, mm-hmm. the schools call.
On the secret number.
Yeah, and like the schools want this station broadcasting the fact that they're exactly. closed. But it's still called the snow line.
Mm-hmm.
And see who's running the board.
Ooh.
Joe.
You can see.
We can call some friends, but...
wait, hold on. I want to hear that one again.
Friends.
Okay, hold on a second.
Little Polony.
Oh. God, I think I just restarted the whole thing.
Oh, dear.
Joe? Hold on. Number one or number two? Now, can you explain this, Joe? It's in the machine.
Hold on a second.
And
Micah checker. Ooh, that's sweet.
Have we heard this?
Yeah.
Is this back to the very beginning?
Yep, it was.
All right, fast forward a little bit there. We're only on cut number two, track number two.
This is Arninger.
We called the snow line at WJFK maybe later.
Uh-huh.
And see who's running the board.
Here we go. This is the mucusy sound.
We can call some friends, but that's funny though, because most people on my list are friends, not workers.
Workers.
That's funny. Oh, we can call Cameron. We should do that too, but we should wait until it's later to call Cameron.
He's the program director.
Just to ask him what's going on.
Excuse me. I've got terrible allergies. I don't know about you, but we are live here at the palatial Arninger Estate. And, you know, not many people get to do a remote from here. And I want to thank all the engineers helping me out. All of them, starting with... Well, all of them. I'm still clicking through my phone list trying to find people to call.
This is great.
Now he's trying to make
this
a call.
I didn't think this could get better than yesterday. This
later
is
later on. Because I wouldn't want to call him now. It's a little too early.
It's 1 a.m.
At 1 a.m.? Mm-hmm. A little early to call
him. Is this when he calls you, Buzz?
Sure. No, another half hour before he calls me.
This is killing me. What's the music?
Can't call mom and dad. No.
If I heard it right, is it Oye Como Va by Santana in the background? Bum, oh, you don't.
Because he has the radio on, and yes, it is.
It sounded like bum, bum, bum. Mm-hmm. Oye Como Va.
This is quality
can't
entertainment.
Call him. Can't call him.
Can't. What, Joe?
All I know, if it's Arrow, it's going to be Fleetwood Mac followed by Zeppelin. All weekend.
That's your classic rock station.
Right. It's just you going through your phone. I mean, this is great.
Can't mm-hmm. call him. Can't call him. Can't call him. Can't call him. And we could call my brother, but he lives in California, so it's not even late for him.
No.
Like right now, it's like 1 o'clock, so for him, it's 10 o'clock.
Please.
And we're not going to get anything good out of that.
All right, Joe, we got a break here. This is only the second segment. How many segments did you record? Was it five?
Five.
Five segments. Joe and the Cicadas. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, hold on. But I do have Buzz. I have Rob A. And through Rob A, I might be able to get done. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. It's Arninger in his backyard live. And we are waiting for the locusts. But by the way, the locusts were loud as hell tonight.
Oh.
That's a beer.
As loud as that. Is that beer popping? But anyway, they were so loud today.
There were.
But I didn't want to cheat everybody. I didn't want to cheat everybody because this is the 17-year mark of the last tape I took.
Uh-huh.
It's very cool tonight. It's about 67 or 68 degrees in Fairfax County.
Took the tape.
And that's not a lie.
It's not a lie.
And I've got allergies.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to take a Claritin. But we still have a couple hours to go, you know? I mean, I'm right here. I'm right here. Everything's cool. Okay. I got my Q-Tec. I got my Q-Tec MR-402D.
What's that, the tape
recorder? It's 1 a.m. in the morning. We get a couple hours to let those bugs show up. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, because those bugs have been flying all over myself all day. I went out and did, just like you, for once. I didn't sit around the house and stay up getting drunk all day.
What?
I actually went out shopping. But when I went out in the middle of the day in Fairfax County,
yeah,
the bugs, the locusts, the cicadas, if you will,
were
all over the place.
As you will.
And they flew up. They flew on my shirt. They flew in my face, on my baseball hat. I don't play baseball, but I wear a hat. Perhaps you have one. Anyway. So that's what happened. And that was in the middle of the day. Yeah. And what I find really, really, really amazing is that...
God.
The beer popping again.
This time, I don't want to buzzkill anybody, because you never know when they're going to wake up. There are no bugs like there were at 3:20 a.m. on June 1st, 1987.
Right.
Ugh. Anyway, next thing you'll hear me do is drink a shot of vodka. And that's what I'm going to do.
Good.
You know why? Because I can. This is Ardinger, and I'm out.
Yeah.
Bravo, Joe.
Golden.
Now keep in mind, there are three more segments of the Joe Gets Drunk and Looks for Cicadas 17 Years Later tape.
Ladies and gentlemen, that means he's going to get worse.
And we'll hear them tomorrow.
Or better.
In the first hour of the show.
I'm in jail.
First hour of the show. Oh, hold on. Here's a guy. Tony, he's going to win a prize for this. Tony.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy, Tony.
I just wanted to congratulate you guys for landing Anna Nicole Smith of playing Joe Ardinger.
That's pretty good. You know, I was upstairs in the office today looking at some of those tapes. And we still got the tape with her. Don't play with my belly button.
Button.
Belly button. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This morning,
yes,
the Today Show,
right,
from the stuff on Friday night with Katie Couric, one of the things that's come out about O.J., in this, the 10th anniversary of him killing his wife, is the fact that O.J. has a TV show that he's trying to peddle.
Mm-hmm.
The show is called Juiced.
A la Punk'd,
right,
which is a practical joke show.
So the guy that we're going to talk to, who's the host, who was the second guy on the show, his job required helping O.J. pull these pranks, such as O.J. as a hotel clerk who can't tell you how to get to your room, or O.J. trying to sell car customers a Ford Bronco.
All right. Oh, wow, so they really deal with...
Wow. Yeah, right.
Directly with his stuff.
They do. Also, at times, O.J. forgot he was supposed to be doing his hidden camera show. Mm. On more than one time, O.J. would ask a person who he's setting up in one of these scams, "Hey, I'm O.J. Simpson. Do you recognize me?"
So he'd screw up.
He would.
Wow.
Let's call the guy who's the host.
Okay. But really, the host of a show that hasn't seen the light of air yet.
Right. Okay. But it's one of those shows that's getting cult status, Family Guy status.
O.J. says there's a 70 to 80% chance the show will be picked up.
All right.
That's his.
We'll call.
Hey, it's Harmon.
Harmon, it's Don and Mike. What's happening, dude?
Hey, how are you?
We're great.
This is Harmon Leon.
Yeah, we should mention that Harmon will talk more about O.J. and this TV show if you have the July issue of Stuff Magazine.
Okay, very good.
Stuff Magazine.
That's where Harmon will be. Harmon, you were the guy. How many weeks did you work with O.J. on the TV show Juiced?
I worked on 2 weeks. 1 week in Vegas, and then we moved the whole crew to Los Angeles.
Now, how great is this that you got him at a car dealership trying to sell Ford Broncos? Now, did First of all, when OJ's there, are there people who still don't recognize OJ? Obviously, there must be, right?
I think OJ is probably one of the most recognizable faces on the planet, if you think about it. Everyone knew who he was right away. So the gag there was people came onto this car lot, and OJ posed as a used car salesman and tried to sell him a white Ford Bronco, which, as you might remember, was the car that he held a gun to his head to.
Right. Now, if he's, when he's out there, if they recognize him, does anybody say, hey, you're OJ, why, you're trying to sell me the same type of car that Al Cowlings is driving?
It didn't really go to that. People just kind of, like, they just thought it was a weird scenario. And they didn't really go, you're OJ. When the prank was exposed, they go, yeah, I thought it was OJ right away.
So the payoff is not all that surprising.
It wasn't that surprising, but just the surprising part was just seeing OJ in action.
What about
kind of in between takes where he'd comment on his own Ford Bronco escapade had a great escapability.
How did you get this deal with him to do a TV show, which not been picked up yet, but the show Juiced? How did you hook up with OJ?
I'm actually a journalist and a writer. So they had a listing for writers wanted for a hidden camera show, but they didn't say who exactly it was with.
What was your reaction when you found out that that this was going to be OJ?
Okay, so the producer tells me, and he said the show is with OJ Simpson, and my exact words were there's like a pause, and then my words were, oh, my God.
Yeah.
How else would you react? Because they said it was a celebrity, and they wouldn't tell me who. So my mind was kind of wondering, you know, going to all the extremes.
Did he get paid up?
I couldn't even think or conceive that it would be OJ.
Did he get paid up front?
No, at the end.
At the end.
The real reason I took the gig is because I'm a journalist. I go undercover into places like this or the Church of Scientology or like militant gun ranches in Kentucky, and I couldn't pass up an opportunity to be on the inner circle of this and right from the front lines.
Now without giving out what you've written in stuff, and we won't ask you to give all that stuff out, no pun intended, but obviously you have an attitude I think that most of us have about OJ. Can you tell us anything? I mean, you know, I know that all the stuff's in the article, but tell us something good in the article that people would really love to hear about how crazy OJ still is.
Well, like between takes, there's like some downtime, and we're like all sitting in this motel room while OJ was getting makeup applied, and it was just really strange to see that his TV channel of choice was Court TV.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess addicted to trials.
Thank God.
It got really, really uncomfortable first when Court TV just started talking about the Scott Peterson case, if you're not familiar.
Sure. Oh, no, we know it.
And then they started talking about the Martha Stewart trial and celebrity trials in general, and then it just got really uncomfortable because I just didn't want the reporter on Court TV just to start going off on OJ, right in front of OJ, and I just didn't want to see what that kind of combustible mixture would happen there.
Is it true or false? I think Buzz had this on the news a couple weeks ago. Does OJ want to be on Court TV?
You mean like when they're filming his trial? Or?
No, I mean like as a commentator or anchor.
That's the first I heard of that.
That's
but
true.
Where'd you hear of that?
Buzz, where'd we hear of that?
On the news. We had it in the news recently.
It was
a news story that he was looking to get a gig as an analyst on Court TV.
Right.
My question would be, when you took this job, so did you have kind of a hidden agenda going into this where, hey, you know, your first thought is, well, a job is a job, but then you said, well, this will be an incredible opportunity to write an article about OJ behind the scenes, right?
Well, yeah. It was the more the article aspect.
Okay.
Because I think that's like, because I've been writing stories for about 8 years. I have a book that came out last year called The Harmon Chronicles, which tells of, like, other undercover stuff. But by far, I've never been in a situation like this, so there's no way I could pass it up.
Have they gotten back to you that whether they're happy or not about you writing this article for stuff?
Well, it hasn't come out yet.
Have you seen the... it's in the July issue of Stuff.
Yeah. It should be on the newsstands in about a week or so.
Have you seen any of the episodes of Juiced?
No, no, no. It's actually, I think what they're planning is a straight to DVD sort of.
Oh.
Yeah, but they might have other plans for it.
Oh my God! Now, if it gets bigger than that, which obviously it probably won't, but if they were to get picked up by some sort of network, and I mean some sort of network, would you be the guy? Would they call you to do some more of these, or do you think that's a one shot deal, so to speak?
I don't know. I think I've done my time in the juiced arena.
And
I've juiced.
When you had
been juiced.
How many different pranks did you have OJ pull while you were filming these?
Only for about 2 weeks, so we had like kind of a wide variety of them. From we're interviewing potential roommates, and they came in, and I kind of like told them about my roommate, you know, and how I didn't get along with them. And OJ would come in.
That's funny.
So it's all kind of. It sounds funny, and it sounds like it could be funny if he, like, you know, if he would have hammed it up a bit. But he's just, like, really, you know, he has that really people-pleasing, friendly quality, you know?
And it just didn't, so do you figure the show really didn't work that well, or what?
I think it worked on the level which they were aiming at.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, we understand.
Would be the lowest common denominator.
And straight to DVD.
Yeah.
And anyway, listen, can I tell you something, Harmon?
Yeah.
You are the Ryan Seacrest of mass murderers. You really are. What you got to do is get your hair spiked like Ryan Seacrest.
I would want to know, and I don't know if this is in the article. I hope it's not. But I want to ask you, really, overall, your overall impression of OJ's state of mind. Could you give us that?
Well, I don't really want to comment too much on that, just because he could easily get my home phone number. It's kind of like this fine line doing these radio shows, you know?
I gotcha.
Wow, well, that says a lot.
Like, I just kind of want to just tell, you know, about the gag. I don't want to.
You don't want to get comment on OJ himself.
Well,
did anybody, just last question, when you're doing these juiced things,
right.
Did anybody get flipped out and go, Jesus Christ, it's O.J. Simpson, and like run away because they were
afraid? Yeah, that's what you would think, and that's what I thought would happen, but, you know, just the weird Americana of it all, mm-hmm. People were actually just really pleased to meet O.J. They went there. Yeah. There's their picture taken, autographs, that sort of thing.
Cult of celebrity.
And no, so, yeah, the weird cult of celebrity is just overwhelming.
And also, no angry reactions from people say, I don't want to have anything to do with you or anything like that.
Well, I think they had trouble getting like some locations to film at, and that was probably the only part of that. You know,
okay,
like they wanted to film like at a wax museum, but they got turned down and things like that.
Hey, that would have been great, OJ stepping out from a wax museum.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, listen, Harmon, thank you for your time. You can read this article in the July issue of Stuff,
yeah.
And if this thing ever makes it to TV or whatever it makes it to DVD. Harmon, now what? You're the straight guy on the show? Is that not
I'm the second banana.
Okay, so you like are the you play the roommate or one of these guys?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Okay. Harmon, thanks for your time, dude.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay, we'll see you.
Okay, bye.
That's
bye-bye.
Pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah. Bye bye.
I hope he's got a little juicy stuff in Stuff magazine.
I bet it. I got the feeling.
But, you know, when I asked about state of mind, well, he could get my home number.
Yeah,
you know?
I got the feeling. OJ's nuts. He just doesn't want to say it.
Well, total denial and also still the chance that he could stab you in the throat.
It's too bad there's no video of OJ's first prank.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But how
there are still pictures of some of his earlier trial pranks.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about OJ not being focused enough on to be a candid camera type show and just saying, I'm OJ, don't you recognize me?
Yeah, shaking hands and being this, well, he's out of his mind.
Well, that would explain it.
Juice.
Okay, can you keep Father Gunkel in mind? What's the plan we hail at the twilight magic? Who for strife and white scars, cruel perilous sight, on the lamp of we
fly. Thank you,
we're so down and we see it, and the laughing with us, good luck to see me.
And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.